For years, whenever an African-American character, hero or villain, was introduced, usually by fights, they got slapped with racist names that singled them out as Negroes. The chickens is coming home to roost, y'all. The black man's no longer going to play the minstrel in the medium of comics and sci-fi fantasy. We keeping it real. And we going to get respect by any means necessary.
Come on. That's a bunch of horse. And no, Calrissian was a black guy, you know. He got to fly the Millennium Falcon. What's the matter with you?
Who said that?
I did. Lando Calrissian is a positive role model in the realm of science fiction fantasy.
F*** Lando Calrissian. Only some white boy got to invoke the Holy Trilogy. But this. Those movies are about how the white man keeps the brother man down, even in a galaxy far, far away. Check this shit. You got Cracker Farm Boy Luke Skywalker, Nazi poster boy, blonde hair, blue eyes. And then you got Darth Vader, the blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian God.
What's a Nubian?
Shut the fuck up. Now, then there's Cracker Skywalker. Gets his hands on a lightsaber and the boy decides he's gonna run the fucking universe. Gets a whole clan wipes together. And they gonna bust up Vader's hood, the Death Star. Now what the fuck do you call that?
Intergalactic Civil War?
Gentrification! And Jedi's the most insulting installment. Because Vader's beautiful black visage is sullied when he pulls off his mask to reveal a feeble, crusty old white man. They trying to tell us that deep inside, we all wants to be white!
Well, isn't that true?
And now, coming to you from the CD Game Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Indeed it is. Why, hello. The best part is during that entire speech, that character of Hoover, he's just wearing this huge button that says in gigantic letters, "The black man is God." Just in gigantic. In gigantic letters.
I'm going to see that this weekend.
If you can borrow it from me.
Fantastic.
Chasing Amy's.
But you said to see it on a strong day?
It's just, there are moments, it's a funny movie, it really is. It's got a lot of, it's the best thing Kevin Smith ever did, hands down. And it's got a lot of his patented sort of geeky humor, a lot of discussions about sci-fi and comics and pop culture and hockey and, you know, all of that stuff. But, I'm not going to want it on about it because it'd be a big buzzkill at the beginning of the show. But there are some moments in Chasing Amy that hit really close to home, I think, with most people. I think that movie, probably better than any film I have ever seen, it just captures what it's like to go through the first really serious relationship of, like, your early or maybe mid-20s. Because, of course, the first really serious great relationship always comes with the first really serious, horrific, like, soul-scarring fights. You know, where it just, like, burns its way into your brain for the rest of your life. And Chasing Amy has a couple of those moments. I remember just sitting there in the theater and just... I don't mean to make it sound like it's not a funny movie. It is. There are moments that are... there are some moments...
Like the one we just heard.
There's that. There's this great sequence that'll hit home even more if you're a fan of the movie Jaws. You know, in the movie Jaws, there's that whole sequence where Brody and Quint and Hooper are sitting around a table and they're comparing scars that they've gotten from various sea creatures. And it's all like, it's a moray eel, bit right through my wetsuit. And there's a whole sequence in Chasing Amy where they recreate that. They have the set recreated exactly, they have the lighting recreated exactly, but they're talking about horrific injuries that they suffered during embarrassing sexual experiences, which is great. It's a hilarious movie, it really is. But there are a couple moments in there between Ben Affleck and some other folks where it's just so just intense and brutal. I remember I saw it on a Thursday, and some friends and I had our own company at the time. And I wasn't doing radio. We were working on our own firm, as they say in Britain. And I saw that on a Thursday, and I remember, I think it was Monday morning before I wanted to speak to anybody. I saw it on Thursday, and I just went back to my house and just, I'm going to be wearing sackcloth and ashes now. And I just shut the door, and I think I just kept to myself for like 4 days. Just didn't want to interact with anybody. Just wanted to sit in my room and drink Wild Turkey and brood. All right. Well, in any event, hi, it's 6 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of July in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. And I will kill any white people I lay my mother effing eyes on, just so you know. It is 503-733-2970. You want to join us today, telephonically speaking, 503-733-2970. If you want to email us, you can do that as well. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. You can also email Sarah. It's Sarah with an H at 970.am. Tim at 970.am. Or Skirjay at 970.am. 503-733-2970 is our phone number. It is Friday. The 13th, actually. Is it Friday the 13th? I believe it is.
It is.
All right, so we got some great Friday the 13th sound
later on
today.
I'm surprised they don't have Jim Roop out on the streets.
That is true. Covering Triskaidekaphobia. Isn't that what it's called? That fear of the number 13? That's one of those dumb facts you learn. The only purpose that has is for when it is Friday the 13th. You know, you can then... Today we're talking about Triskaidekaphobia, fear of the number 13. And it's a thing that only helps you if you work for K2 or us. Yet they don't. They have Rachel McGrath, who hates me anyway. So maybe I can insult her again today.
Either love you or completely hate you.
Well, the good news is we have Bob Costantino today. I'm running a little behind, so I don't have my Matrix overview done to the ideally as I might otherwise. Here's what's coming up today. That we got CNN radio correspondent Rachel McGrath, who will be joining us from Los Angeles, talking about David Beck, who no one cares about. I mean, I don't know how to handle. I don't know how to deal with Rachel on this because she's British. She's a British.
Yeah, maybe you should talk about while she's on hold. She's talking about something that nobody cares about.
While she's on hold, maybe I'll try to slander her countrymen.
Ask her to take off her tiara.
Bunch of chip-eating, skinny-tooth bastards. So Rachel McGrath will be talking to us about the Los Angeles... Who even knew the Los Angeles Galaxy existed? I mean, really. Who in this building... Look, I'm not a huge sports fan, but I mean, you mentioned most, like a prominent sporting franchise or a team. I mean, I can talk a little bit about it. I can tell you what their logo looks like. I can tell you where they play. There's no one in this building, probably no one in this city, that knows anything about the Los Angeles Galaxy, really. So David Beckham, who's like 100 years old already, isn't he? I mean, isn't that guy so far past his prime that it's... I mean, I don't really know that much about soccer or football or kickball or whatever they call it here, but It does seem like that's a guy... I mean, that's sort of like buying a racing horse that's 50 years old. It doesn't really seem like that's a shrewd investment of one's money. And he's here with that weird Skeletor-looking wife of his. Jesus. Well, in any event, listen to the questions they have me asking. Will David Beckham bring the new fans the MLS is looking for? I don't even know what the MLS is.
It's a multiple listing service. In the real
I thought they were talking. I thought MLS was some variant on Lou Gehrig's disease.
Major League Soccer.
Major League Soccer. Thank you so much. That never occurred to me. Is this the start of something big for soccer in America? No. No, it's not. People in America don't.
I like watching soccer. I'm going to a soccer game tonight.
Really? Is that true? Do you like going to soccer, or do you like sitting there among other people and drinking? Be honest.
If there was no beer,
would you still enjoy it?
I had my first actual really good soccer experience the last game because they were just getting the crap beaten out of them. It was just a terrible game.
It was a gripping 1-1 score at the end of four periods or
40
whatever.
40 seconds left, and this goalie was not letting anything past him. 40 seconds left, and he was just being a dick the entire time. And, made a goal. It was so exciting. I realized why people are actually soccer fans.
Well,
it was really cool.
Maybe you can assemble some exciting queries with which we can confront Rachel McGrath when she comes on the show later.
Maybe I will bring, I have a voice recorder, or maybe I'll borrow yours and I'll bring it to the Timbers game tonight and ask people why they like soccer.
That's a good idea. Listen to you being all the woman on the street. Fantastic. Well done. That's thinking outside the box, Sarah. My whole thing is just from a social point of view, because I get the feeling, and Dennis Miller was touching on this earlier, I get the feeling that everybody in Britain is sick of David Beckham and, what's her name, and the Posh Spice. They're done. It's like a house guest that won't leave. comes there, eats all your chips, puts his feet up on your coffee table, knocks over your things, wakes your kids up, drinks all the good booze, won't go home, it's 4 in the morning, you just want to sleep, he's still downstairs watching Mr. Ed reruns. He's the thing that won't leave.
Back in the old days, he would have been shipped to Antarctica.
To Australia.
Or Australia.
Anyway, oh, and apparently Paris Hilton was allowed to use a cordless phone and other amenities while in prison. And I'm kind of done caring about Paris Hilton, but, you know, I do like the idea of Rachel McGrath, who is from Britain, being forced to talk about Paris Hilton to us, because you get the idea that it's just sort of tooth-curlingly awful to her. So there. Did you see that picture of Paris Hilton wearing her own face on a T-shirt?
Yeah, the Andy Warhol-esque one.
Oh, boy. How much do you want to see her just beaten with a tire iron?
She will one of these days. Just patience.
This, too, shall come to pass. Later on, Bob Costantini's going to talk to us today about Nancy Pelosi, who doesn't really seem to be in the news much anymore. It seems like Nancy Pelosi, here's my assessment of that situation. It seems like Nancy Pelosi, like the first, like they all do, the first week that she was in office, you get these congresspeople who get, they suddenly get an elevated power base. And like everybody like that, they go real hard for some huge, strong goal, and they get slapped down really firmly by the real politic in that town. And then they just sort of sit cowering in a corner for a few months, and they don't attempt anything again. And that's kind of my read on Nancy Pelosi and her San Francisco values. So we'll do that. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, will be in the studio later. I know he's got Scott Daly gave us his review order of the Phoenix. I think Aaron is going to he has a little bit of that to share as well. And then there's something coming up, some sci-fi convention, something or other. I don't know, there's something with guys with pointy ears and pasty skin coming up. He'll talk to us about that. We'll do the top five. We'll talk to Scotty J, Tim Riley, the new news hour. That is all on the way, my friends. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. We'll get a few calls here at the top of the show, then we'll do introductions, teases, and so forth. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. How may I help you on this Friday?
Well, sir, I think you've already helped me. That was the best movie quote entrance ever.
No, it's fantastic.
We actually saved that. Rick had that earlier in the week.
We made about 10 of those at a time. I sat down and I knocked out a whole bunch of movie speeches, and I decided specifically to save that one for today. A, because it's a good way to start to start a Friday. It's a good way to begin the climax of the week. And B, because Aaron's going to be here later on, and I felt it was somehow appropriate.
I think later, if you could do Benke's porn speech. You know, sometimes it's a spread brown eye kind of night.
No.
Like the idea of going down on a dunk.
No.
What do you not understand about no?
Here's. Okay, I'm going to bleep that. Thank you. Bye now. What makes you think you can say
why
that?
Why just keep on going?
What?
No.
The dump button is for. Why? What makes you think that you can say that, my friend? Anytime you're calling up and you're like, you know. Anytime you're reciting a movie speech that contains the words donkey, girl,
brown,
down, anything, it doesn't. These are all things that you can't say. Hi, Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
I am actually a professional soccer referee who lives in Oregon and does soccer all the time. I'm around soccer. And, God, I could give two craps about David Beckham coming to this country.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, I don't know anything about anything. So, the Portland Timbers, is that the name of the...
Sure is.
Now, this isn't rugby,
yeah.
though. This is soccer.
The Portland Timbers is basically, they're a soccer team which is one level below Major League Soccer.
All right, okay.
So they're like a triple A kind of.
All right.
Yeah, more like a double A.
Double A.
It seems to me, and I say this as a fan, it seems to me that David Beckham is sort of like Oasis, in that he was huge in Britain, and so they just sort of expected that he would be big here, and they just like, and I think Americans don't like being told who they have to love and who they have to embrace
but
as a celebrity.
But then again, Paris Hilton's leaving a gap, you know, like a gaping hole there.
Sorry,
no.
Well done.
Yeah. Yes, she is. Paris Hilton.
But when she goes away, I'm saying.
It's impossible to think about Paris Hilton without thinking about gaping holes. You are, in fact, correct about that. No, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, Americans, I'm not trying to turn it into a whole culture war. I'm just saying there's things that Americans don't really care about to any appreciable degree. And I think soccer is one of those things. I'm not saying nobody's into soccer. I'm not saying people aren't interested in it. But it's just, it's not a thing that America has wholeheartedly embraced on a level that has taken it to, it is not part of the popular culture.
Actually, Rick, I do have to interject because being a referee, if you go out to the fields now and look what's being played,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take all the kids playing Pop Warner football and baseball and all the other things and these tournaments that are constantly going on, there are by far more kids playing soccer than anything, and it's because of the fact that you don't have to be hugely talented to play certain positions in soccer.
Not
that
you don't have to be
talented. You don't have to be, you know, you can't be bad at it. Like, you know, every baseball team has, you know, that one kid they stick out in right field who couldn't catch a ball.
Yes.
You know, like Lupus and the Bad News Bears.
Yes.
But it, I had to make the reference. But, you know, there are more kids, especially, and younger kids. I mean, you have, I have a, going tonight, I'm doing a tournament for a bunch of 10-year-olds. And these tournaments are taken very seriously. And, you know, 5 years ago when I was doing this, you'd have maybe four or five teams in these tournaments. Now you have 50 teams in these tournaments.
But doesn't it seem like this? Doesn't it seem like a lot of kids go through soccer as a phase, and then it's a thing they never pick up again ever? Soccer seems to be, even when I was a kid, and I'm like 100 years old now, but even when I was growing up, soccer was a thing that like 9 to 12-year-old kids did. But it was just sort of understood that you didn't continue it later on in life. It did seem very much like a very young person's sport. It was a child's activity.
Yeah, actually, this is weird because you get the 9, 10, 11-year-olds play, and then there's a drop-off. And then when they get to about 13, 14, 15, 16, it gets huge again. And then once they get 16, where you start getting the high school age, where the talent really matters, then there's a little bit of a drop-off again. It's weird because it's like the bell curve of athleticism. But even now, I mean, we have these Olympic development teams, and they're just kids in droves that parents are paying $12,000, $15,000 a year for these kids to play.
Let me just say this. First of all, this is the second time, I think, in 2 weeks that we've had some sort of elongated discussion of a sporting activity on this program. I really don't know what's going on. There's something either something really great or really terrible is happening to this. Also, you should know that this during your entire discussion, my friend, Scotty has been typing on the screen in angry all caps letters, "Soccer is not a sport."
So
to Scotty getting drunk and slurring his words in front of Vanilla Ice is a sport.
Well done, excellent sir. You should go out on that line.
I will.
Thank you. Bye now. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello, and how are you?
I'm doing well today.
Are you?
Yeah, and I just saw this news. I was just reading, and they're starting the filming of Chuck Palahniuk's Choke tomorrow.
Really?
They're starting to film it. Yeah, Sam Rockwell's starring in it.
Where are they filming it? Here? Where are they filming it?
No, it's they're shooting in New Jersey. It's Sam Rockwell and Angelica Houston.
I know.
I wish it was a different book. I wish it was Survivor. Probably post 9/11. You can't.
I didn't really like Choke. I really didn't. And I don't dislike Chuck Palahniuk. I am not some guy who reflexively dislikes him because he's popular. He's written some things I liked. I loved Lullaby. Lullaby was a great book. I liked Fight Club quite a lot. Not as much as some guys do, but I liked Fight Club a lot. Choke, I just didn't really care for. I had moments that were really great, but I think he fell back on just being revolting sometimes. It was like he didn't quite know where to take it, and so he thought he'd just describe something really gruesome and excruciating detail. So I have to be honest,
I have not read Choke.
I
have a kind of weird fear of choking anyway, and I've always had kind of reflexively not wanted to read that book.
Choke to me, and again, this is based on a very limited exposure to his oeuvre. I think I've only ever read four Palahniuk books, but it did seem a little bit of like Chuck Palahniuk's greatest hits. There were things that felt very reminiscent of other Chuck Palahniuk novels. For example, there's a whole, and I'm not giving any, there are no spoilers here, I won't spoil the book. But early on, the lead character in Choke, and I'm not sure if you even know his name, but the guy who's the narrator of Choke reveals that he picks up women by going to 12-step meetings for sexual compulsives, which just feels really reminiscent of Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of felt like he had a bunch of leftover ideas written on 3x5 cards, and he sort of jammed them together into some sort of order to make a novel.
Rockwell will play a sex addict in Colonel... Colonial War reenactor who deliberately chokes in restaurants in order to attach himself to his rescuers and con them out of their life savings, all to support his mother in a private mental health hospital.
I think Choke would have made a really, really great novella or short story. I don't know that it made a very good novel. I know you want me to read Survivor, though.
I've read that book like 3 or 4 times.
Well, here's the thing. Speaking of movies being filmed. So right now I'm finishing Into the Wild, which is that movie that they're making a movie out of that Sean Penn. That was actually the reason Sean Penn was here. I'm finishing Into the Wild, which is by John Krakauer, who did Under the Banner of Heaven.
Okay.
And Into Thin Air. I'm finishing Into the Wild, which is blowing my mind, by the way. So I'm almost done with that. When I'm done with that, I'm going to read The Bronx is Burning, which is that book that Steve Kastenbaum recommended to me. Then I will read Survivor.
Okay.
So I'll finish Into the Wild probably today. I'll read...
I think I actually own two copies of Survivor, so you can just have it.
Such a tool. Really?
So I'm willing to, if I love a book so much, I'll buy multiple copies of it, and if someone wants to buy it, I'll just give it to them. Because I like to, I like people to have them.
That's like me and Youth in Revolt.
Yeah.
I mean,
you've given me a copy of Youth in Revolt.
Oh, I've given everybody... I've told that story three Christmas. There's a book called Youth in Revolt by C.D. Payne.
So good.
Which three...
Nick Twist.
Yeah, like 3 years in a row, I gave that to every single person I knew for a Christmas bread. They're like, you already gave me this last year. And I'm like, well, now you have another copy. Read it again. So, okay. So after I finish The Bronx is Burning, I will read that Polonic book.
And
I'll read
I'm
Survivor.
Go home and read Youth in Revolt tonight.
Okay. Oh, that's just it's so great.
I know.
It's just the best. Seriously, someday I'm gonna rent an airplane with a billion copies of that book, and I'm just going to airdrop it over the
entire
country.
Someday you should make a movie out of it.
You know, Spielberg at one point had optioned the rights to make Youth in Revolt into a movie, and then it lapsed, and I don't think anything has happened.
And they'd probably just ruin it anyway. Probably some kooky, like, American Pie kind of thing.
You would have to do it on HBO. It would have to be on HBO, because a lot of those books just can't be made into mainstream films. It would just not work. All right. Oh, and here's today's Sarah Dillon out-of-context quote. It's no wonder I hang around with guys as all my friends. I just want to punch girls in the face. Just let that stand. Working on the following stories for your edification today, the one, the only, Tim Riley.
Well, heavy sleepers probably missed spectacular lightning strikes overnight. A 64-year-old swindles investors out of $400,000 only to squander it on young love of a prostitute. A Longview man steals the purse of a lady in a wheelchair to satisfy his drug habit. A Hillsboro dad is put on probation and must attend parenting classes for putting his son in the trunk for a family trip to the beach when they ran out of room.
Oh, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. Oh, it's terrible. All right. It's 503-733-2970. I don't even know where we're going with this today. Here's what else we've got coming up. Have we all seen this video of Lars Larson?
Yeah. No.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
All right, hold on. Let me load this up here.
Have you seen it?
I'd like to see it again.
All right. Let me, before we do anything
else.
Should
I come around and watch it?
Well, while I'm getting this,
let's all gather around the wire.
Daddy J. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
That is fantastic.
That is the best thing I've ever heard ever.
I love the idea that Scotty will eventually, Pavlovian style, he will learn to associate his presence on this program with Philip and with Philip Seymour Hoffman saying, "Can I kiss you on the mouth?
Please, let me kiss you."
Hello, Scotty J.
Good morning, Hump Tulips.
I beg your pardon. Are you doing poetry of some kind? What is Hump Tulips?
I don't know, Rick.
He sent me the sign.
Actually, I do know what it is. I think it is a local Native American language meaning hard to pole.
I don't understand what we're talking
about.
That
sounds very painful.
Canoeing up the Hump Tulips River. The Native Americans had a hard time poling up the river with their canoes. So Hump Tulips, hard to pole.
Is this conversation secretly about something else?
I don't think so, Rick.
Hump two lips?
He sent me the sign. Look, it's an actual place.
Tulips.
Whose lips?
Flowers.
Hump two lips.
Yeah, as in flowers. Anyways, okay. We appreciate you guys listening to us, by the way. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, thanks.
Scotty, is this in Oregon?
Hump two lips.
This particular location is in the middle of Washington. I told some of our Washingtonians that we would give them a shout out.
Don't say Washington. All right. Thank you, Scotty.
There is a tulip festival in Washington.
Is that it?
No. Okay, so where stand we on Gabe Kaplan?
Well, Gabe's camp has given us no response, and they've been on AM Northwest.
So he was on
AM. Directly following Gabe Kaplan.
Because Gabe Kaplan, just of course, a noted poker enthusiast, Gabe Kaplan, also known for Welcome Back, Cotter.
Which
he's got
love.
A new book out now. So he was on AM Northwest this morning, and he's speaking at Powell's tonight.
Yeah, we love all that.
Now, you were really good at getting Vanilla Ice. You were good at getting some of the other people, Cool in the Gang.
Cool in the Game.
You were able to get those guys, and yet somehow you have not been able to pull Gabe Kaplan for us.
I have no idea. I guess he wasn't feeling well a couple days ago, but, you know, we'd be happy to talk to him on the phone.
Did they even...
They haven't gotten back to me since I talked to the publicist.
All right.
And then following him directly this morning on AM Northwest, you'll never guess who was on there.
I have
Want
no
to
idea.
Take a guess?
No.
Joey Chestnut.
Really?
So AM Northwest is
Was
like,
he live in the studio?
Yes. They're punishing me.
Joey Chestnut, of course, was the guy who defeated Kobayashi in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on the 4th of July. Now, I thought Steve Kastenbaum gave you Joey Chestnut's contact info.
And no response.
What have you? Your magic has faded.
I know. We
I think you've turned back into a pumpkin on us. Was a time when you were a closer, Scotty.
Well, I think we are definitely the redheaded stepchildren of media, or people are having some kind of a CBS.
See, now he gets it.
Reverse aversion.
Thank you. You finally figured it out.
It's only taken a year and a half.
I remember when you were all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Hey. You know, this is Scotty J for the Rick Emerson Show, and we would just love to have you
okay,
on our show. We're perfect.
Here's the key. You can't say that. You have
to say.
It doesn't
work anymore.
No, it never works. You can't say you're from the Rick Emerson Show. That doesn't get you anything.
How about this? We can't stand
CBS
you.
CBS Radio.
CBS Radio is what you have to
oh,
say.
Oh, I do that a little bit.
No. That's what you have to say. You can't. Yeah, you can't say you're from the Rick Emerson Show, because no one knows or cares. You have to say, hi, this is Scotty.
Rick Emerson is huge in Beaverton.
You have to say, hey, I'm calling from CBS Radio, and we'd like to book Gabe Kaplan. And then later on you reveal that it's this program when it's too late for them to back out. You know what I mean?
Let them down a little bit to the AM
Yeah, just
dial.
It's just this program, I think, carries some kind of a taint on it with certain people. So you have to sort of just use the CBS Radio name to get in the door.
Maybe I'll change my name. I'll sound more official.
You should create a fictitious alter ego who books things for you, and then the alter ego passes things along to you.
Right. So that's my booking agent for you, the booking agent.
Seriously.
So it's like three steps to
seriously.
The Rick Emerson.
The radio is one of the few fields in which you can do this. Just create a completely and wholly fictitious persona through which you can get things done. You ought to create a fake you who then books things for CBS Radio, and then he passes the person along to Scotty J at the Rick Emerson
Well, maybe
show.
The listeners can come up with a professional.
The listeners
there.
Have their hands full coming up with with men that come in and kiss you.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. No. But anyway,
we're going to do that later on today. All right, so it's a big no on Gabe Kaplan.
And the last statement you had, too, it's a big no on that, too.
Well, that's only because we don't have the man in here yet. All right, thank you, Scotty.
All right.
Bye, Scotty.
So we'll play this Lars Larson thing, and then we got a break. We'll come back. Bob Costantini coming up later in the hour. So this is...
Will you please not call him a political fireball today? It just is uncomfortable.
What should I call him? A raging ball of political excitement. Excellent. So this is... this was on K2 last night. And, of course, the interesting thing about this is doubly appropriate, because this was hosted by Carl Klick. Who, as we found out, was a big fan of ours. He's going to be coming in the studio next week. Carl Klick from K2. So this is K2 last night, and apparently the story is that apparently there's some station, the Univision station here, KUNP, I guess, which is, I guess they do their newscast in Spanish, because there's a lot of Spanish speakers here in the Northwest and in this area specifically, which is fine with me. Doesn't matter to me.
Right.
I don't care.
They used the proceeds when they sold the old KOTK to buy.
Is that true?
Yeah, they decided that they were going to get rid and get into Spanish, which is a smart business
That's
decision.
Right. KUNP is owned by Fisher. Yeah. I forgot about that. So remember when we used to be on Hot Talk Tonight at KOTK?
It was a big radio station.
They sold us, and they took the money to buy this Spanish language station.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense now that I think about
yeah.
it. And again, I mean, I have no problem with there being a Spanish language station.
They're
I have no problem with there being a Spanish language newspaper, with businesses putting up a sign in Spanish or Korean or Vietnamese or Italian or whatever it is. You know, it's free market economy. You know, whatever it is that gets your business, whatever it is that gets people to patronize your business, you ought to be able to do. And I know Likas has made the same point. He's in L.A. where it's an even bigger issue. But, you know, whatever it is that makes money for your business, if that's broadcasting in Spanish, so be it. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care. But you know who inexplicably is all pissed off by it? Lars Larson.
Yeah.
Or maybe not so inexplicably. And the best part is that Lars Larson, of course, is, you know, he claims to be this raging capitalist. That he is, but Lars is all for the free market economy and for business being able to do what they want. Unless it's speaking in a language other than English. And then suddenly Lars is like apoplectic about it. He's just infuriated. So this is Carl Klick talking about the Spanish language broadcast. And then they go to Lars like three different times,
And then at the end, there's just this M. Night Shyamalan twist where Lars just comes off like a big moronic sack of flour. So if you want to drop the mono bet, I'll play this
excited.
Here. All right, here we go.
The Northwest's first local newscast in Spanish is triggering some intense debate. It appears on Portland's Univision station, which is KUNP. K2's Anita Casey shows us who's angry the news is in Spanish and why.
There's a local newspaper printed in Spanish. Local radio stations broadcast in Spanish.
Next, they'll marry your daughters.
And now local television news airs in Spanish.
Okay, first of all, whoever they're interviewing on the Spanish language television is hot. This girl on the right.
And longtime local newsman Lars Larson hates it.
It's a way of self-segregating that is limiting, and it's bad for America.
When did he develop a lisp? It's bad for America.
I cannot believe that.
I don't know when he developed this weird sibilant S thing going on. And do you think they could possibly have made him look doughier and pastier?
And it's bad for the people who watch it.
KUNP has the conservative radio host and his listeners fired up. Lars is particularly angry about a segment that informed viewers of their constitutional rights if they're involved in an immigration raid.
The group of people that you are aiming this newscast at, the illegal aliens who don't want to assimilate, who don't want to follow the law, that is a group of people that I have no respect for because they don't follow the law.
All that we want is to live well and working hard.
Edgar Palacios resents Larson's implications. He runs an ad agency and says the Hispanic market is hungry for services in English and Spanish.
So keep in mind, by the way, that this is not a story about illegal immigration as such. This is simply a story about a newscast that happens to be in Spanish. And so Lars, of course, because it's what he does, has turned everything into an illegal immigration issue.
Well, the other question is, if he has so much such a problem with Spanish, how does he know exactly what their story was about?
He doesn't need to know, Tim. He can sense it because he's Lars. So Lars, of course, is just irritated that there's something being broadcast in a language that's not like Whitey's language.
And advertisers like Dana Marshall know it.
It's a part of the development of the United States that I think is really a very positive development.
I'm from Mexico City, and there is a huge American community there. But let me tell you something. There is three newspapers and a couple of yellow pages in English. Because even though if you speak Spanish, you're looking for something in your language.
The way to be successful in this country is to speak English, not to speak any other foreign language, no matter what it is.
Lars is adamant about Americans speaking only, quote, American.
That's genius. Okay, now, but check this out.
Instructions at the top of his website for the media player that allows people to listen to the streaming version of his show ask people if they want instructions in English, Spanish, or French.
I'm not aware that our website, is that on KXL or LarsLarson.com?
And for once, this talkative host is at a loss for the right words.
That would not have been my choice, and I certainly, and the people who engineer it, in fact, let me ask Sean.
Anita
Casey,
K2 News.
In the interest of full
disclosure. No, I think it's just some other guy, and I'm fully aware that that's a thing where they've just edited it to make him look like more of a tool than he already is, but it's still fantastic. I just love seeing that, because he's bitching about how something is in Spanish, and then they go right to LarsLarson.com, and there's a big click here to read in Spanish.
Him stumbling over his words is genius.
Just sitting there jiggling around.
I'm not aware of something like that.
Like a big shirt-covered bowl of vanilla Jell-O. Oh, fantastic. God love him. And, you know, and I love the fact that the story is hosted by Carl Click. Carl Click's a good-looking man. Maybe he'd like to help Scotty quit smoking. Fantastic. My microphone processing is excellent today. Fantastic.
It has been all week.
All right, we're going to come back with Bob Costantini from CNN Radio on the Hill around the corner. Your phone calls coming up at the top of the hour. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Rachel McGrath about the what's it? I've forgotten already. Soccer. David Beckham, so forth. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran in the top five. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondent Rachel McGrath. What else do we have? We have Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, going to be with us today. It's E3. That's what he was talking about. E3, which is that, what's that huge, it's that big gaming thing, right? The big, not role-playing, it's like a video game convention. I think it's in Los Angeles or something. I'm really out of the loop on this. I get all of those things confused. There's E3, and then there's Comdex, and then there's the NAB, and I always get that they all kind of blend together in my hand into one big sort of sea of pasty skin and plastic gift bags. What else do we have coming up later on? We'll do the top five, talk a little bit more to Scotty J, about 20 minutes away from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Rick, about that girl you saw on the television. Her name is Roxy. She is the Univision anchor. She is a sweetheart. All right, more importantly, she is hot as balls, though. That's really what matters. You know, and I will say this. Well, never mind. Now, because it's just going to descend in another to another discussion of Sabado Gigante, which
and
is fantastic.
I don't want to bring up bad blood, but aren't we also going to try and find a person for Scotty?
A person for Scotty.
A beautiful gay man for Scotty.
A kisser. No, we have many volunteers for that already. We have some guys, including some straight men, who have volunteered to come in and nibble gently on Scotty's earlobe. And for some reason, in my mind, it's always the left earlobe. Maybe because
you picture it.
Well, of course. I'm trying to figure because as we were describing, yes, I picture it alone late at night while I'm scrubbing myself with a loofah. Because, you know, as we were sort of laying out the various aversion therapies that we were going to use for Scotty to help him quit smoking, I was trying to picture all of them. Somebody had suggested that for every cigarette, we were going to try to come up with some sort of algorithm by which he would have to put Hillary Clinton campaign materials on his car. But I think this is really simpler to do, and it's more aesthetically pleasing for all of us. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show CNN radio correspondent Bob Costantini!
Hello, Rick.
Hi, Bob. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing just fine.
Are you dandy?
I'm pretty much dandy, really.
Are you fine and dandy? And if not, would you say you are more dandy or more fine?
I could be fine, dandy, and just pleasantly pleased.
That really is you to a T. Really, that is absolutely the embodiment of what you are, my friend.
try to maintain copacity or something like that.
You try to maintain a semblance of dandiness. Let's talk about Nancy Pelosi, who, and I was talking to her earlier about this, and it is, I don't mean to single her out, but I mean she's the one at the she's at the top right now, and whoever's at the top kind of gets their lumps. But not unlike Newt Gingrich in the Revolution of '94. People who suddenly are given a greater amount of power, they always seem to take a huge bite at the apple, a huge swing at the ball, and it almost always fails or is only partially successful, and then they sort of go and lick their wounds for a while, and they start to come back in a sort of scaled down or diminished sense. And of course that happened with Newt and the first 100 days. It happened with Hillary Clinton and health care, and now it's kind of happening with Nancy Pelosi. I get the feeling. Because, of course, they tried very hard to make this full frontal push to get Bush to pull out of Iraq, and that didn't happen. And they took another vote, where the House of Representatives took another vote yesterday to do this, but, of course, that's headed for the inevitable veto, is it not?
Oh, that's for sure. Even if it somehow manages to get through the Senate, which is highly doubtful at this point, it makes the Democratic leadership feel good over there on the House side because they are making a statement, and it certainly does make a statement, and it puts more pressure on the White House, but there is no possibility whatsoever of a withdrawal time frame becoming law. President Bush has indicated he would certainly veto this, and over here on the Senate side, where I'm sitting right now, of course, it requires 60 votes to get anything done, and there's no indication that any wavering moderate Republicans would go along with the idea of a withdrawal time frame. And there is a bill possibly coming up for a vote as far as the 60-vote measure coming up on Tuesday, which is similar to the House bill, which requires the withdrawal to start 120 days and to be completed by April of next year.
And so my question is, because even people talk about these defections from within the GOP and how there's a lot of George Bush's base is sort of flaking away underneath him, but despite that, there's still no chance that this is going to gain a critical mass enough to pass. So my question is it, and I'm sort of asking you to maybe, to maybe project yourself a little bit into the mindset of the Democrats, but what possible reason is there for this? It just seems like, in any real politics sense, just a colossal waste of time and energy, right? I mean, couldn't they be actually, my tax dollars are paying for them to come up with things that they know have not a snowball's chance in hell.
Well, they believe that they have to try. And that's one way of looking at it, Rick. The The leadership in the House, of course, can very easily push through, and this is how it went last night. It was along party lines, but they can very easily push through the legislation they believe is most important. And, you know, it does send a message and those kinds of things. But you're right in some ways that this is effectually a waste of time, but it does send that message. It does put some more pressure. It does gain some publicity as far as the sense of the Congress, especially on the House side at least, that, you know, they want U.S. forces to withdraw or start withdrawing from Iraq. All this could change, actually, if you want to look long range. All this could change in September, when we are supposed to get the more formal report about the benchmarks that the Iraqi government is meeting and the military situation there. And we're going to get a report from General David Petraeus. And if things still don't look if things aren't looking up, and they were looking up supposedly on the military side with yesterday's preliminary report, but if things don't appear to be getting a lot better in Iraq, then a number of the moderate Republicans, including Norm Coleman, with whom I spoke last night, who is from Minnesota, and he's running against, Al Franken is looking to unseat him on the Democratic side. Coleman is going to face a lot of pressure back in Minnesota to come clean for the withdrawal. But right now, he and several other moderate Republicans are not willing to go that far.
All right. Before we conclude today's segment, my friend, let me ask you this. Do you have any knowledge about the Los Angeles Galaxy soccer team? Is there anything you know about them?
I've heard of them, yes, and that's about it.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. We were talking about the different – talking about soccer today because of the David Beckham thing, and I'm pointing out that just because something has a lot of people who attend it or there's a lot of popularity for something, the dividing line, the litmus test for whether or not it has truly become part of the culture is whether a non-fan has more than a smattering of knowledge about it. And I think they're trying to make a push for that right now with David Beckham, but I don't think we're at that point yet. So I'm doing sort of a spot poll of people to see if they have any knowledge about the Los Angeles Galaxy at all.
Didn't professional soccer try this with Pele many years ago?
I mean, Pele, I will say this. Here's what the average, you don't know the average American, and again, I don't mean to paint us as just ugly heathens who are out of touch with the world, but I mean, look, there's things that, there's certain things that appeal to certain cultures, there's certain countries into certain, look, you go to Hawaii and there's spam on every store shelf, there's spam in every meal. You go to Vermont, not so much. There's just different cultures in different places. I'll tell you this, the average American knows two things about soccer. They know who Pele was, and they know that if you go to a soccer game in Colombia, the odds are like 1 in 3 you'll be trampled to death. That's it. That's it, man. And I know that David Beckham's wife needs to eat a sandwich now and again. I would say those are the 2.5 items of knowledge the average American has about that sport. All right.
Please send her your scraps. Everyone.
Excellent. Fantastic, my friend.
Please save posh.
Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you very soon, Bob.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, political firebrand and funny guy, Bob Costantini. Send her your scraps. That's fantastic. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. How might I help ye today?
Are you done tweaking the Scotty sounder?
I'm sorry, what is you mean it's the summoning?
Yeah.
Hold on, let's find out.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
I was just wondering. Are the crickets done? I was just wondering if there's room in there for Mo from The Simpsons calling out, "I need a man to hug and kiss."
I'm looking for Amanda.
Amanda,
find me Amanda hug and kiss. Would you like to know? Now, I don't know if you're saying this. Now, do you know Scotty J in any way?
I came down and met you all one day. I brought Sarah some flowers when she had the flu last winter.
Ah, okay. I was just going to say, because now, are you familiar, are you aware of the fact that on the door to Scotty's call screening room, because I have like one outside my office that says Rick Emerson and whatever, and the sign on Scotty's door says Amanda Hug and Kiss.
Oh, no, that's hilarious.
Did you not know that?
No, it's totally
Oh,
true.
I didn't even know
oh,
that.
Oh, you know,
that's
if you
hilarious.
Go, if you go down to Scotty's little cave down there, you look on the door, the name tag on Scotty's door for his call screening room says Amanda Huggenkiss.
Well, then, I mean...
That's courtesy of Dave Zinn, by the way, who did that.
The sounder sounds perfectly good to me, but you know, I just thought I'd add my 2 cents. I don't know if there's room in it for that. Maybe a future revision or something.
By the way,
know.
would you like to know how your call was described to me on the screen here?
What did he say?
On the screen, it says, John wants you to cut Scotty some slack.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, in... I'm sorry. That is true. I know I'm not going to get anywhere.
In what sense do you wish Scott to slack to be cut for Scotty?
I'm always an advocate for Scotty because, you know...
Advocate for Scotty. Uh-huh.
Your dog. And, you know, Scotty is the token Republican on the program. You know what I mean? Everybody needs a pinata. And Scotty has stepped into those stirrups with both feet, you know?
That really is true.
He just seems that he loves and he hates. Actually, I called in yesterday, and I you didn't have time, but I was going to ask Scotty, are you shocked and surprised that Rick wants you to kiss men and won't give you the aversion therapy? That, you know what I mean? After all this, what? You just said he's been on the show for a year and a half.
Yeah, something like that.
And he still, still to this day, he's like, but, you know. But anyways, no, what I was going to say is, you know, I think, well, you made a good case yesterday for saying, you know what, you gave him a chance with Omzi, blah, 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 blah. But what I was going to say yesterday was, you know, let him go through the program or let somebody stick him with needles or whatever. And, you know, if he falls off the wagon, he's going to have a bunch of men chasing him down the street. You know, is there a good men's bar that Scotty could open up a kissing booth at?
I like where you're going with this, sir. I like the way you think.
I don't know, but anyways, you know, yeah, you could give him some of the apple. You don't have to completely hit him with the, you know.
Well,
you
look, here's the thing. A, I know, and this was pointed out by somebody. I know that Scotty believes that we are being unduly harsh by picking this this punishment for him, but it should be noted the a man coming in and nibbling on his ear when he smokes was not even suggested by us. It was suggested by a listener.
And reinforced hundreds of times by further callers.
Oh, because, yeah, so that was the audience. That was the audience that chose that. That wasn't even my suggestion.
Well, and plus, it did kind of leak onto the air, unfortunately. But, I mean, we went through, we talked to the OMSI people quite a bit, and we were going to do it, and we actually, out of respect for Scotty, didn't force him into it on the air.
This is so great. Scotty's justification here. I don't want cancer from people. Thanks so much, my friend. All right, we got to go. One more, and then we'll break. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Dan, how can I help you?
Yeah, I was hoping maybe you could put in the Vanilla Ice, Scotty J's brother, into his sounder.
Really? The thing is, out of those Scotty J drunken sounders, there's so many little individuals.
You need to end it with goddamn.
Goddamn. Let me see if I can. We'll play that maybe into the break and see if there's a place for that. All right, thank you, sir.
Appreciate
it. Bye now. All right, well, here's the sounder as it now stands. I think it is almost flawless.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Genius.
Good morning, Metolia.
I don't think we can do anything.
No, I don't think so. I don't want your life. All right.
Please.
Jerk. All right, we'll play a little Scotty into the break. We'll come back with Tim Riley around the corner at the Ministry of Truth later on. Rachel McGrath from Los Angeles, the top five. Aaron Geek in the city. Duran, you stay right there.
What are some words that would describe Vanilla Ice's personality? Having met him, like you did.
Oh, dude, totally persuasive, totally wants you to believe his ice. And he wants you to slide along with his... Goddamn.
Why do you want Vanilla Ice to be your brother?
Goddamn. Well, this guy is joy of everything. Me?
Yeah.
Scotty J, Vanilla Ice, my brother?
What'd you think of the women, though? At least the women were hot.
Hell yes. Hell
yes. What were your thoughts on the women at Outlaws?
The women at Outlaws tonight were freaking believable.
What was hot about him?
Ass.
Anything else or just the ass?
Tops.
What kind of women do you like? What do you find attractive in a woman?
Boobs.
What would your message be to the women at Outlaws tonight, if you had one thing to say to them?
Skalje, I'm with you tonight.
Is there one girl in particular you would send that out to?
No, I think they all have the vibe. They know who I am.
What's the one they know who you are? Did you introduce yourself?
I introduced myself to about, a 30 woman tonight.
What was the general reaction?
I hate you.
Did you go back and try again?
Nope.
Did you make a positive impression on any women?
Nope. It's all in the numbers game.
Fantastic. It's the Rick Emerson Show, 503-733-2970. Hello. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. And also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Ladies and gentlemen, without further delay, please put your working class hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, those who count such things count in 500 lightning strikes in Oregon yesterday.
It was badass. That lightning last night was amazing. It started around 10:30, really? It was unbelievable. I don't know if it happened all over the entire region.
Yes.
But I was in my kitchen on the phone, and there was this bright flash. And, of course, in my neighborhood, I automatically assumed that that was the hazmat van coming to kick in the door of the apartment building across the street to pull a bathtub out. But there was this flash, and then it kept happening. But it was happening at this weird intermittent pace. I'm like, what the hell was that? And just as my brain was trying to process, what is that weird flashing light outside? It was one of those thunder crashes that was so low that it actually rattled the windows and set off car alarms all up and down the street. And then it happened again in rapid succession over and over again, I would say for probably the next 15 or 20 minutes, and then it rained. It was really amazing. It was pretty jaw-dropping.
And it was hail the size of marbles.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was that at?
It's someplace in the Portland metro area. And 25 new fires started in Oregon. So that's not too bad. The biggest one is in Fossil Creek. About 200 acres is burning near Spray, Oregon. Where is that? Near Highway 19.
I think that
doesn't help us.
Do you think they just run out of names at some point and they just start going to the Burns, Spray, yeah. Boring, Sludge, Aardvark, and they're just picking just random conglomerations of letters out of the dictionary. But I didn't get any of the hail, but there was a whole lot of... I was actually afraid because last night, it somehow happened, I forget exactly how this took place, but my truck and my bike were both here last night, and then I ended up biking home, leaving my truck here at CBS. By the way, I left my truck here last night, but I didn't put the club thing on it.
Oh,
and
no.
So I was just absolutely convinced. I had just sort of resigned myself to the fact that by the time I got in today, my truck was going to have been stolen out of the CBS parking lot. Thankfully, it was not. But I left on my rain gear and everything here last night, and I was convinced it was still going to be raining this morning on the way in. But it was actually kind of chilly today. And I guess there's some correlation between the fact that it's really hot for a couple of days, and then suddenly, did we get the thought? I mean, I guess one sort of triggers the other, but I'm not much of a... I'm no Richard Nunn, so I don't really know how to... I don't know how to assess such things. But I guess that the heat builds up or something, and then there's some sort of atmospheric pressure thing.
Exactly.
That heads in from over here where all these H's are. And then it comes in down through here. Okay.
That was quite an explanation.
It really was. As I sort of waded hip deep into that, I realized that I had nothing. That I had no... I mean, you would think that just having watched television newscasters and television weather people for 20 years, I would have at least through osmosis picked up... So I'd at least be able to fake it. But I realize now as I'm having this discussion... I have no idea how the weather operates. I don't know what a low-pressure system is. And don't feel compelled to call, by the way, because if you explain it now, it'll just slide out of my brain like Teflon. Like Teflon. It'll just go right out of my head. I have no idea how any weather affects any other weather, but it doesn't really matter. So we're going to move on.
Well, Mayor Potter hopes to increase downtown livability by opening the City Hall restrooms overnight. This is part of SAFE, or Street Access for Everyone. The City Hall's first floor restrooms will be open to anyone who has to go relieve themselves overnight. The restrooms open to the public from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and the new hours are from 11 to 7. And they're expected to be in place by August 2nd. So this is costing $46,000. They're going to try it for 6 months.
And this is the City Hall
restrooms. Open overnight.
And that the City Hall, here's a dumb question. It's right next to that blue tile building right downtown, right? It's that one, it looks all weirdly colonial.
Yeah.
Talking about that, yeah. It's on 4th and something.
It's right across from 24-hour Fitness.
Yeah, okay, yo, okay, I know exactly
you know
where
that is.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. And so you'll just, so anybody will just go in there and...
Yep, anyone has to relieve themselves, come one, come all, between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m.
Because that really just means homeless people, right?
Yes.
I mean, are they
going to...
Okay, well, there you go. So, fantastic.
So, if you want to meet some homeless people.
If you are perhaps a lawmaker of some kind with $20 to spend.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, it's going to cost $46,000 for a six-month trial period. So, apparently, there's supposed to be some kind of security there.
Well, I mean, I am a big fan of that idea because it does seem like the amount... Look, the huge chunk that they take out of my ass every 15 days in taxes, it seems like I ought to be able to at least pee downtown when I have to because there's nothing... I mean, I don't want to sit and just engage in literal bathroom discussion here, but it's sort of like, you ever do this where you sort of wake up at like 4, 4:30, 5 in the morning, and you just sort of, you don't really have to use the bathroom, but it's just enough that you can't quite sleep peacefully, and you're sort of caught in that netherworld between being awake and being completely unconscious, and you can't really descend into a full REM cycle again because there's that sort of pressing on the inside of your bladder, but it's not like urgent enough that you really got to wake up, and so you just have the sort of fitful, I really got to get up and take care of this kind of sleep. It's kind of a variation on that same theme. When you're downtown, you're doing some shopping, you're doing whatever, and you don't really, really have to use the bathroom, but you can tell, like you can sort of sense that like 20 minutes in the future, you will really have to use the bathroom. And then all activity, all internal processing power must be shunted towards trying to find a place to relieve yourself. And it's then that you realize that if you're downtown, there is no place to go to the bathroom. Especially because all the businesses, you know, they always put up the whole, like, you must be shopping here if you wish to urinate. I mean, it just becomes impossible to find any place to go. So, is this going to be 24-7?
11 to 7 a.m., yeah, so I guess it will be.
All right.
It's going to be in place by August 2nd, so you have to hold it till
see,
now.
That's actually, who can we thank for this? Is this Tom Potter?
Mayor Potter, yes.
So, he's done something concrete.
I guess so, yes.
We always point out that he's done nothing but condemn raids of illegal aliens.
Well, no, politicians are politicians. They're out to get elected and then get reelected, and then they try to come up with something they did.
Well, no, but I mean, this is really, and I'm not being flip about this, this is an actual concrete, constructive, tangible contribution he has made. He has made it easier to use the bathroom. And for anybody who thinks that's silly, I would just ask you to...
I think it's a pretty basic thing.
Well, dude, we were just talking yesterday about the first time, I think it was you, that put down like a full viso. And then you immediately got on the max for like a 2-hour ride.
My eyeballs are popping out of my head.
I'll just drink this entire viso, and then I'll get on this train that won't let me off for 90 minutes. And then, as you noted, I don't mean to be working blue here, but really, as you pointed out, you don't really appreciate every bump and jiggle in the road until you really have to use the bathroom.
They seem to put in extra ones.
Everything you're going over sort of an honorary speed bump. Oh, fantastic. Where are these people?
Well, luckily I built a restroom on the first floor of the house right when you walked in.
You just run right into the house. All right, we've got calls for some reason. Micah, what's up, brother?
I actually just flew in to Portland last night. Our plane landed about 11 o'clock and left Houston. And, you know, weather in Texas has not been great either. So, you know, it was a little rocky coming out of the Houston area. And then about 30 miles outside of Portland last night, I know how much Sarah loves flying, so I thought I would share this with her. My girlfriend and I are sitting in the very back of the plane. And I was pretty sure the back half of the plane was just going to get tore off. The turbulence was so bad.
So now you were flying into Portland last night as the storm was happening. Now, was there lightning happening?
We had the shades down, so couldn't tell. And, you know, they've got that stupid light.
You didn't
want
to... We're closing it so you didn't have to see the gremlin tearing apart the wing of the plane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
what was the turbulence like? How, to the best of your ability, because I know that probably within the sound of my voice is somebody who has to fly today. So please describe the turbulence.
Well, for me, it's not a big deal. I fly pretty frequently, and so, like, turbulence, not a big deal. Apparently, my girlfriend, not a big fan of the turbulence.
Yeah.
So my arm, you know, death grip on my arm.
Of course.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say it was probably a 7.5. At one point, we were holding onto our, you know, can of soda and little glass with ice, and it was more like fluid flying out of the glass and then trying to catch the fluid before it lands anywhere on you.
At any point, did the lights on the plane flicker?
Not that I noticed.
Because that's really the moment when everybody, yeah, that's the sphincter tightening right there, is when
right,
the lights
on
the plane,
plane kind of goes,
yeah.
What's gonna
because,
happen?
Of course, when the lights on the plane start to go out, then you just start to think, well, that's it. The next thing is the engine. You know,
right.
The next thing is the steering.
Right,
I mean,
and then
when
you just wait for that little oxygen mask to pop down in front of you, and you go, oh, what am I going to do with
now,
that?
I have never had that happen. I've never been on a plane where the oxygen mask came out. But I gotta believe that's the moment where everybody on the plane just begins to scream. That's gotta be it.
I think that moment is the whole Dennis Leary factor, where it's like, smoke him if you got him.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it really, who cares? Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, you can't smoke on a plane, but if the plane's going down, is anybody gonna bitch about you smoking a
yeah.
cigarette?
And then here's the other thing. And there are certain things that you sort of believe. I'll say you take them on faith, even though you don't understand them, such as the fact that a huge... The wing of an airplane has got to weigh half a ton. It's got to weigh 1,000 pounds at least, the wing of that airplane. And you're thinking to yourself, this is just held on with some bolts. I mean, I rode my bike to work this morning, and halfway to work, this is a true story, halfway to work, one of the little nut and bolt combinations came right off my bike, and part of my rain fender just sort of started to fall away.
Right.
And you realize that basically it's just a bigger version of those bolts holding the wing onto the plane. And you don't
right.
really think about that until you're in wind shear or turbulence, and you look out, and this is the weird part, when you see the wing of the plane bouncing and flapping up and down, and you realize one flap, 1 degree in the wrong direction, it's just going to snap off.
Right. So there's nothing you can do about it.
No, and then you will be, you know, the next thing you know, your corpse will be in the middle of somebody's living room in Wichita. So, fantastic. All right, thank you, my friend. I'm glad you made it in safe.
Thanks, Rick. Have a good day.
So, thank you, sir. Here's Tim Riley. Well, what do you do when you want to take the kids to the beach and there's not enough room for everyone in the car? Well, the adults, of course, have to sit in a comfortable seat, but the kids can be put in the trunk. That was what a Hillsborough dad thought. This tip brought to you by Lacey Turner at the CBS PSA department. So, a Hillsborough dad pleads guilty to criminal mistreatment. That's what you charge for if you put your kids in the trunk and go to the beach. Douglas Wiley is now on 2 years probation, must provide 50 years of community service. He must also complete a parenting class. I don't know what that would include.
I would hope it would involve some sterilization
a
or...
A bucket of condoms.
A corking of some kind. They are to sell a bucket of condoms. Right now, any place where you're buying a bucket of beer, they ought to be
of chicken.
A mandatory bucket of condoms ought to come along with it, really, honestly. So where was this? Was this here?
Well, it all started when a Hillsborough man decided to gas up at a North Plains gas station. And apparently a customer saw two children in the trunk.
I didn't even know they had power out in North Plains. I thought that was one of those things. I think everything ran. I think it was just like a lot of butter churning. And
yeah, people live in mobile homes at the top of these mountains, and you wonder how they got them up there.
Seriously, I thought it was just a whole lot of Surreys with the fringe on top out there.
Oh, no.
All right, let's get walking. We got to make it to that garlic festival by next week.
So anyway, Willie, his lovely fiance, and four children were on their way to Seattle, which is always covered with bird poop, even though the pictures of the place never show that. It is the filthiest beach I've ever seen.
Seattle?
No, Seaside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Seaside's a hole.
Yeah. But they always show you these blue skies and seagulls flapping their wings.
And I don't mean any disrespect to our listeners in Seaside, by the way.
It is the filthiest beach I've ever seen.
It really
seen.
Is.
I mean, even the saltwater taffy doesn't make it seem any better.
It's revolting.
It's like it hasn't been cleaned since 1920.
You're right. And every time I go there, I'm enveloped in clouds of flies.
Yeah.
And I don't really think that's a reflection on me and my personal hygiene. Every time I go there, I remember the one time I went to Seaside. Oh, God, I remember what it was probably 3-4 years ago.
I mean, it is the St. John's of the beach world. It really is.
I remember trying to eat something. It was something kind of innocuous. It was like a pizza slice or something, or like some yogurt or whatever. And, man, I bought the food. I walk out of the beach, and I swear to God, a cloud of gnats came down on me that blocked out the sun. Blocked out the sun like Spartan arrows. I mean, I couldn't see anything. So that you just get the feeling that even as you're standing there, just sort of invisible parasites and bacteria are seeping through your skin into your bloodstream. It's a great place for the kids. Take them. Okay, so they're loading up the kids to go to Seaside.
Yeah, and they all didn't fit inside, of course. But he wants to impress his fiancée by giving her enough room to stretch out.
You want to see this neat trick I can do with the kids?
Mm-hmm. So Willie told the sheriff's deputy he decided the two kids should get into the trunk because they could keep each other company. They didn't want to just put one in there. So the 12-year-old son and the fiance's 13-year-old daughter climb inside, which can cause some problems further down the road, I'm sure.
Ken Barton, the Washington County Deputy DA, said the witness who called police would have testified that she saw the children fanning themselves while Willie opened the trunk when he was stopped for gas.
Jesus.
So the deputy caught up with the car. The children had been in the trunk for 20 minutes.
This is a brother and sister, teenage brother and sister, shoved into the trunk of a car together by the dad for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. B.C. Andrews presents Flowers in the Trunk.
And he admits he made a huge mistake.
And so did somebody spot him doing this right away, or somebody spotted
it
at one of the fanning locations? Where
the fanning location
were
the
kids okay? I mean, I mean, we're making light of this.
Well,
it sounds like the
kids
were okay.
I
mean, they weren't brain damaged or anything, were they? Because, I mean,
I don't know if they started that way.
Because it is North Plains, after all. Because as we always say, and we always have this every year, you hear these PSAs about these goddamned idiots that lock up, they stick their kid or their dog in a car, and they roll up the window, and mommy's going to go buy some smokes, and mommy goes into a Woolworths and gets distracted talking to some guy who's playing scratch-offs. Meanwhile, the dog or the kid or both are outside in the car, their brain cells liquefying. So it sounds like the kids were probably okay. What's amazing is that the kids went along with it. I mean, I'm not encouraging any sort of violent behavior in anybody's part.
Keep
but
in mind that
you're 13 and your dad tries to put you in a trunk. I'd be for kicking that guy in the junk right now.
However, it's a long. The boy was put in the trunk with his dad's hot girlfriend's 13-year-old daughter.
Oh, they weren't brother and sister.
No. They will be.
Naughty.
They will be.
Kind of.
It's the hottest story ever.
Well, come on. I remember when I was 13 and, like, sneaking into the drive-in, and we'd ride in the trunk, and that was kind of fun.
Yeah, but this was a drive to Seaside. This is like, well, how kids, long is that drive?
Kids make adventures out of
something. It's at least a couple of hours.
Kids and their wacky death games.
Oh, it's an hour and a half, 2 hours.
It's a 2-hour drive on the hottest day of the year in the trunk of a car. I hid in the trunk, too. But, I mean, I think I was 16, and I think it was voluntary. I don't think my dad was shoving me into the trunk for a 2-hour drive to the beach in July when it's 99 degrees outside. Let me get this straight in my head. So it's a dad, his girlfriend.
Fiance.
And then the two kids, though, mm-hmm. are, one, the son is the dad's, but the daughter is the fiance's.
That's correct, yes.
I see. I think I know all I need to know about this story.
So there are probably no complaints from the kids.
Probably not. Little seven in heaven is what that is. That's what I'm thinking. All right. Jesus. Well, I go back to my previous statement that it is North Plains. So I think the rules for such behavior might be different out there. I mean, when you're 13, you pretty much take any avenue.
This might have been a dream come true for all we know for those kids.
I want to grow up to be locked in a trunk. All right. Let's see here. Can I just Let's see here. Yeah, that's fantastic. The saw the children, quote, fanning themselves. That's wonderful. And you know that they'll both be allowed to keep the kids. Oh, and of course, in the trunk of a Pontiac Grand Am. Absolutely.
There's plenty of leg room.
I was just. What you're going to find here with this model is it runs good on gas, and you got your T-top here, and this trunk, you can get 3-4 children into this trunk on a hot day. What is it going to take to put you and your children in the trunk of this car today, sir? Let's see. We've got many children in the trunk calls here. Hello, sir. What have ye to say about the kids in the trunk?
Well, I'm no expert about cars, but
I put children into many small things.
I had a friend who knew about this story, and what my understanding was it was one of those cars that had the flip down back seat that had access to the trunk.
A lot of them do, though.
So the kids weren't necessarily in the trunk separate from the adults. They were just using the trunk space along with the backs of the fold down chairs or seats to relax in, and it probably looked like. Yeah. Anyway, to my understanding, it got blown out of proportion. It wasn't like shove your kids in the trunk and head out to Seaside. It was more like, well, how do we work out this situation? We'll pull down the seats and the kids will lay in the back.
How about you wear a rubber? How about you solve it that way? And here's the thing.
Good call.
Here's the interesting thing about this story, is that let's see. So the car only holds 5 people. There's him, the fiance. Oh, and there's 4 children. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's 4 kids. Mm-hmm. So 1, 2... I see. And so this is...
looking here. So so you could have gotten away with just shoving one kid in the trunk, but as Tim said, you don't want that kid to be lonely. You want to give them somebody to talk to. It doesn't sound like it doesn't sound from reading the story, though, as though the back seats were pushed forward, because then there would have been no place for the other two kids to sit.
I'm just telling you, the whole friend of a friend kind of...
I think we need one of those. We need one of those recaps like in Traffic Court where they give you a little model of the car and then like some Lego people.
There you go.
And then he starts shoving them into the car to demonstrate exactly how this works.
Playmobil.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right. That's like if you look at my car, this is a creepy thing. If you look at my, you open the trunk of my Ford and open it, and the trunk release valve handle is like a glow-in-the-dark handle. And then there's a little illustration inside that glows in the dark that shows someone pulling on the opening handle and then, like, happily jumping out of the trunk with a big smile on their face. And then presumably running off to find better parents somewhere. Let's see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show about children in a trunk.
Yeah, well, I think if the same law applies to Clackamas does to Hillsborough, those two are legally married now.
Wayne Holm. That really is Wayne Holm. That's worthy of a laugh. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right. All right, and let's just do one more here. This is not about children in a trunk. This is about airplanes, I believe. This is...
Andy!
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, hey, guys.
What's
up?
Hey,
Rick, next time you're on an airplane and you're looking out the window at the wing bouncing up and down...
Yeah.
Here's a little fun fact for you. That wing is full of fuel.
Fantastic. So it's full of things that can explode. And I was also just told that we got here an email, Rick... Keep in mind, by the way, most jetliners are not bolted together. They are, in fact, glued together. That's a good feeling.
Yep.
Glued together as they're going through the rain, making things ever more porous.
Excellent. Have a nice day.
Thank you. I will now. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
A Beaverton High School student now paralyzed from the chest down after diving into the lake in Fresno. On Friday, 17-year-old Jacob Wacker was baptized at Hume Camp, just east of Fresno. He went out to swim those same waters later in the day. He was in about a foot of water when he was pushed or dove forward. Wacker hit his head on the shallow sandbar, leaving him paralyzed and fighting to hold his breath.
Wacker,
I barely knew her.
Pastor Kirk Peterson of the Portland Bible Church said Wacker held his breath as long as he could and was seen floating down unconscious. He dove down a little bit too deep. Those nearby pulled Wacker from the water and performed CPR to get him breathing again. Wacker and his family are turning back to their faith for strength. They say he has some tingling feeling in his hands. He enjoys competitive sports, skiing, motorcycles, and computer games.
Not anymore. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, it looks like Gary Joseph Sparks was looking for love, and he temporarily found it after he swindled more than $400,000 after the people who gave him money to invest in real estate. He burned through the money in less than 4 months by spending it on a male prostitute.
Well done.
He is accused of taking this 23-year-old on extravagant shopping sprees in Portland and Hollywood, spending $72,000 on a Mercedes, $9,000 on a Rolex, $41,000 on a one-year lease on a West Hollywood apartment, $3,000 on a Louis Vuitton gym bag, and more than $40,000 in clothes from high-end retailers such as Saks Fifth Avenue. And after buying all those clothes, Sparks spent another $2,000 getting them altered.
Fantastic. It doesn't seem to be any middle ground on in this sort of story. There's this guy who blows $72,000 on a male prostitute, and then there's what's-his-guts, that Republican representative in Florida yesterday who gets caught in the brush outside some truck stop bath station offering $20 to do a guy.
Yeah.
There's no gray area. It is sort of a bell curve.
Well, Sparks had divorced his wife in 2002 and lives in a rented mobile home in Gresham.
Just trying to get above his raising now. That's what he's trying to do. Oh.
So apparently, his checking account was overdrawn for $400,000.
How do you... What kind of monthly fee do you pay for that overdraft protection? I seem to have a slight overdraft in the...
He also spent money $400 breakfasts and $1,000 hotel rooms... with the young man. He's 64. This 23-year-old is 23. Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
I don't know how you... How is it...
Oh, he portrayed himself as a successful, trustworthy investor. He befriended his victims. He promised good. 8% in returns.
That's what they're going to say about me. I wanted to say that in my obituary. He befriended his victims.
I don't understand how you become overdrawn in the amount of $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't even make any sense. What kind of bank was this? I want to go belong to that bank. And then as soon as they diagnose me with cancer, I'm just going to start overdrawing like a bastard. I'm just going to start overdrawing every single day.
Apparently, he swindled a dementia victim out of quite
I don't think you have to swindle a dementia victim. I think swindling and dementia are mutually exclusive terms. All right. I am Zagbar the Dragon. Give me all your money. All right.
Even jail employees say Sparks looks more like a sweet grandpa than most of the younger, amped-up suspects that police bring through their doors.
Final observation, and then we got a break, and then we got Tom about... I'm going to read some of these calls here. Tom, about mother-effing kids in the mother-effing trunk. Wade says, listen 10 years ago, just refound show. That's interesting. What else are we going to... Oh, okay, but here's a question. And I mean this sincerely. This is an honest question I have. He blew $1,000 a night on hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Has anybody here, and this includes you, Scotty the J, has anybody here ever stayed? What is the most expensive hotel room somebody here has stayed in, whether or not you paid for it? What is the hotel room you've stayed in that had the highest value? Sarah? You probably stayed in a really expensive hotel room, even if you didn't pay for it.
Yeah, I stayed at the at a hotel downtown. I think it was like $300 maybe a night.
Okay.
That's not very expensive.
Tim, you ever stayed? I mean,
Fifth Avenue Suites downtown.
Now
is
that
200 something?
And is that 200? Scotty, what is the most expensive hotel room you've ever stayed in? Okay, suite in the Palm, but how much?
You know that Scotty stayed at fancy places.
Probably suite in the Palms. Where is that? $500 a night. The Palms. That's not the Palms in Vegas, is it? Okay, $400 to $500 a night. Okay, yeah, the Palms in Vegas, $500. And then Laura and I stayed at the, not the Crown Royal. What is that place? Crown Plaza in Times Square. I actually don't even know how much that was because I asked her not to tell me because it was all going on the credit card. And she's like, well, you know, do you want to know how much this was to stay in the Crown Plaza in Times Square on New Year's Eve? And she said no. I would imagine, I mean, the Crown Plaza, Times Square, New Year's Eve, I would imagine it was $500. Probably. I mean, just because of location and time of year. I guess my question is, like, doesn't it seem like there's a ceiling on your return on investment? Like, what is it you're getting in a $1,000 a night hotel room? I mean, I mean that honestly. In that person's case.
That was a 23-year-old twink. That's what it probably comes down to. He's 64 years old. Pretty much sums up that.
I'm sorry, sir. There are rooms with twinks are all gone for the night. Would you like something in a bear?
No, he was the bear.
That's the twink is in the mini bar right next to the little bottles of Chablis and the zero candy bar. Fantastic. If you break the seal on the twink, that will be $5,000. I'm sorry I do not make the policy. I must simply enforce. There's nowhere to go with this. It's 503-733-2970. We'll go out on that. We'll come back with Wade. Later on, we have seen a radio correspondent, Rachel McGrath. More from Tim Riley, the top five, Aaron Geek in the city of Duran. Stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. That does remind me, later on today, we will announce the Glorious Bastard of the Week. Do that in today's program. Today's Glorious Bastard of the Week wins Rockfest tickets, among other things. Rockfest the 12th, happening later, August 26th. I'm trying to read lips. When? Columbia Meadows, August 26th, Rockfest the 12th, featuring Incubus and Saliva and Chevelle and other things. Loud. Hi. That's coming up later on. It's 503-733-2970. Glorious Bastard of the Week. That'll be in today's program. Also, more Scotty J coming up later on. Aaron Geek in the City of Duran. Rachel McGrath, top five. Back to Tim Riley in just one moment. This is... hello, Wade. You're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
What's up, brother?
Well, man, I used to listen to you like back in around 2000 down in Coos Bay.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden one day, boom, you got bumped and Liz Wilde was on.
Yes. Yes, she was, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then there was quite a punishment for doing such a thing.
But I just recently moved to Portland, and I heard you guys, heard you a little bit on Court and Fat Boy about you guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, right on.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of backstory here. So I came to, most people, you know, for a long time listening, maybe you've heard this, but if you, I came here in 98. It did a kind of a terrible syndicated version of this show for a couple of years, and then early in 2001 that went away, and then locally I was replaced by this by the Liz Wild show, which lasted I think 5 months, something, 5.5,
which is like a long time for that show.
Yeah.
Some of it's longer
run. In dog years, though, which is what it felt like. That show was on for like 40 years. Yeah, that show was on 5-6 months or whatever, and then she went away, and she went elsewhere. She went to hang out with Ed Till somewhere.
And elsewhere.
Yeah.
And elsewhere.
She's actually in Florida, last I heard.
With a trail of houses behind her. I'm not trying to pick on Liz. I know that she, like
Ed, a talented Liz.
Well, like Ed Till, and I think Lyke has told this story too, where for years after he moved back to L.A., he had this house in Boston. Because he'd been in Boston before he went to KFI, and then when syndicated, he goes, I have this house in Boston. I can't sell it. It's just sitting there, you know. And radio people, they all buy houses, and then, of course, they can never sell them once they move. Liz, I don't mean to knock her. She had this great house that I actually went to her house at one point. Something kind of unrelated, but I went to her house, which was up in the West Hills, and she had a gorgeous house. It was like 4 stories, beautiful, view of the entire city. Something she couldn't possibly pay for, and it's probably still that she's probably, I mean, I have no idea how many houses she now owns, but every radio person has that story. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Her show went off the air, and they brought us back in 2001, and then you just rediscovered the show when?
Last night, or yesterday, I heard the thing on Court and Fat Boy, so today I turned it on.
Oh, that's right, because Court and Fat Boy, because they lost the Transformers bet, are obligated to name check us, our radio station, our program, and our website every single day, and look at the dividends it has already paid off.
Synergy.
Let's be sure, that's corporate symbiosis. Let's be sure to bring them in today and thank them for sending one of their listeners our way. All right, Wade, thank you, sir. Are you going to spread the word, my friend?
Oh, you know it.
All right, thank you. I'm glad you rediscovered us, Wade. You call us anytime.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, sir. There you go. That's Wade.
We need a bet with Katie Couric.
Yes. There's just not enough 75-year-olds listening to our program. I'd like to capture that coveted demographic. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, even if we can't get Gabe Kaplan, I just got an email saying actor Jack Scalia is available for interviews.
Hooray! Who?
I don't know who he is.
Okay.
He's actor Jack Scalia.
Scotty, pleased to be booking Jack Scalia. Does it say what he's done?
Let's see. He and John Warden are available for interviews during the Seattle to Portland Bicycle Classic this weekend.
John Warden? You mean Jack Warden?
No, it's a different spelling. W-O-R-D-I-N. I think Jack Warden's dead.
Wait, is Jack Warden the guy from,
But this is John Warden.
Okay, but Jack Warden. Let's talk about somebody more interesting. Let's talk about someone else. Jack Warden. Was Jack Warden the guy from 12 Angry Men? And then The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, which is that Twilight Zone episode. And then Crazy Like a Fox, which is the Stephen J. Cannell crime-fighting duo show in the 80s that was a father and son?
Yes, that's him.
You have no idea.
No idea.
Now I don't even know Jack Warden.
I got to find out who Jack Scalia is.
Okay, you look up Jack Scalia. I'll look up Jack. Most folks call him Green Onions, but they're really Scalia.
Jack Scalia.
Little Stan Freberg humor there. You know, can I just tell you this? I'm preemptively sad about the death of Stan Freberg, even though he's not dead. He's one of those guys that's so old and so talented, I'm already kind of working myself up to be sad about the death of Stan Freberg.
He speaks Spanish and Italian.
Stan Freberg?
He was in a television program called Nuclear Hurricane, and a motion picture, Honeymoon with Mom. Then The Genius Club. Stop me if you recognize any of these.
I don't even know who we're talking about.
Kraken, Tentacles of the Deep.
Kraken.
The Endgame. Taylor. McBride. Taylor. Anyone here? Murder Marty. Red Eye. Exit. All My Children. He was in 2 episodes of that. He was in Shattered Lies. Boys Club with a K. Ground Zero. Tequila and Bonetti. Silent. I'm getting to the end of his career here. And so forth. He was in Mel. Act of War, Follow Your Heart, Hell Mountain, Fired Up, Under Oath, Dark Breed, Silencers, Touched by an Angel, he was in 1 episode.
This is Jack Warden who did all this?
No, this is Jack Scalia.
I don't know who that is.
He's in all those movies I just mentioned. He's a Brooklyn native, an All-American athlete. He played 3 sports in college, and he participated in 4 triathlons and 6 in the Marathon.
Let me just tell you this, though. Jack Warden, I forgot about this. Jack Warden, who we can't get because he's dead.
He was in Hawaii 5-0, wasn't he?
And he was in Brian's Song, and I forgot about this. He was in All the President's Men. Also, The Verdict, which is a great movie. Also, Being There with the one and only Peter Sellers. And then his last film was The Replacements with Gene Hackman and Keanu Reeves. Let's see.
Jack Scully also modeled underwear in the 1970s.
Really? Let's get him on and talk to him exclusively about that.
He's considered a desirable ladies' man and a man's man for over two decades.
How old is he?
He was born in 1951.
I want to talk to him about being an underwear model. All right.
Scotty, get him on the phone.
I was actually just going to say that. If you can.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please, let me.
He speaks Spanish and Italian, so maybe we can ask him to speak Spanish for Lars.
Fantastic. We should do a simulcast of this program just for Lars. Hi, Scotty J.
How's it going? I put a link on the teleprompter there
for you.
That's
me. My computer.
Scotty, are you familiar with Jack Scalia?
I just found that same site you're on, and I gave the link to you on the phone screen software.
Why'd you give the link to me?
So you could take a look at it.
Oh, awesome. All right.
He's actually done a lot of stuff, apparently.
Apparently he modeled a lot of underwear.
In the 70s.
I don't think I'm able to. Let's see if I can see if this will work. All right.
Here's the contact number here.
So. Oh, sweet.
What is he promoting?
Can you forward that to me? I sometimes get those and I sometimes don't.
I know. It's weird. I send things to you and they say you don't exist.
This guy named Jack Scalia. Okay, let me just tell you this. We're looking at this guy named Jack. He looks... Okay.
So you are Scotty...
Two observations about this.
At
970.am. He looks exactly like a guy who would be in a soap opera. He totally
he has
looks
been in a soap
like,
opera.
That's what I'm saying, but only like a few episodes. This
Only a few episodes.
I mean...
He's got the Warren Beatty thing going.
Don't you think that soap opera actors have a look all their own? Don't you think that there are guys that you look at and you say, that guy's in the soap opera? And it's always like kind of the swept back, sort of not slicked back, but sort of brushed, you know, the combed back sort of sophisticated hair. And it's always guys who star in soap operas, especially men of a certain age, like over 40, they always look like almost a parody of sophisticated men. Who is the quintessential guy who looks like a soap opera actor? I'm trying to think right now. You know, Ben Affleck could pull that off. Ben Affleck could be a soap
People
opera
are
tired
actor. Of Ben Affleck.
I'm just saying, well, that's where he'll end up then. He'll end up on Passions or something, right next to the doll that
you
comes to life.
Most of the people on those soap operas have been on there 30 or 40 years.
Man, if you get work on a soap opera, that is a gravy train that never ends. Yeah. Getting work on a soap opera is like getting work on Star Trek. You will never go hungry again. And here's the other thing.
Do you
thing
love the
I
movie
wonder.
Soap Dish?
I do.
Oh,
I do
too.
Love that movie, Soap Dish. That's a fantastic movie.
It is
movie.
A great movie. I love watching that, the behind the scenes of the soap opera.
They saved the head!
Oh, no. Jack Scalia was on Dallas.
Most
and
folks.
All my children.
I'm looking at this here, this picture of Jack Scalia, and I have...
So he was on a soap.
He was in Wes Craven's Red Eye.
Really?
Yeah. And a Cuba Gooding Jr. movie. Nobody was...
Was that while they were renting a hotel room for the weekend?
One of the more expensive ones, yes. And he got a Louis Vuitton bag.
How much for a little red eye? Okay, I have 9 words to say about this man. Former Rick Emerson Show program director, Alan Davis. That's exactly who this guy is. Jack Scalia, right here.
Is he?
He's Alan Davis, our former program director, now working in Kansas City. The guy who was the big believer in the Rick Emerson brand and then fired Sarah. So,
and
right.
me.
Yeah.
We just sat in his office and laughed and laughed and laughed. You can laugh. I'm out of a job. We're just sitting there laughing in his office.
That guy never stopped laughing.
No. He smiled as he fired us.
Scotty J and him would go, if he still worked with us, they'd go for drinks every day.
Oh, dude.
They would be best friends forever.
If we were still, let me put it this way. If Alan Davis was still the program director of this show, or if you had been working in Entercom at that time, you and our program director, Alan, would have gotten along famously. You guys would have gone to the club or wherever men go. You would have golfed. You would have gone to Hooters together and claimed straight-facedly it was for the wings. you would have sat in some sort of a skybox at like a Blazers game somewhere.
I love doing that kind of stuff.
Of course you do. You would have gotten along fantastic.
You would have been fired, though.
You want to be working at the Fan right now.
I would have smiled right along with him and toasted glasses and said, thank you very much.
You'd be producing a morning show right now.
Call Jack Hutcherson right now and demand the job at Intercom. Tell him you're a man's man.
Yeah.
Tell him you want to hang out with athletes and talk about showering.
Shouldn't be too tough. There's nothing full-time over there.
Tell him you want to talk to Big Soup.
There are intern opportunities, though.
Tell him you like 14-year-old boys who are taught in Swedish. You'll fit right in. All right. I don't even know what we're doing.
We're going to get him on the show.
We're trying to get Jack Scalia on the program.
I don't know who that is.
It's another long showcase of stars to grace the program.
So, Scotty, this is sort of like being bounced back down to the minors to work your way up. Or like when you're playing Donkey Kong and you fall down to the bottom, you have to go up again. Because you were doing real well at booking guests, and then you failed on Alice Cooper, and then you failed us on Gabe Kaplan. So now you have to start again at the bottom by booking Jack Scalia, who no one has ever heard of.
Also,
it's happened to all of us, though, Scotty.
I love how I can't get a hold of the hot dog eating champ. If that's not the lowest of lows of stars.
The hot dog eating guy
won't even
return
my
your calls. That's fantastic. All right. I wonder if he might have nibbled on your ear. Oh, that's wonderful.
Now, keep in mind, if this is first come, first serve, I think we have a chance, because this was a recent email.
They got to get on the phone right now about this. What are they publicizing, this mystery guest?
They're in something, they're riding bikes or something here. Veterans. Wounded U.S. soldiers and their families.
Okay.
They're pedaling from Seattle to Portland.
All right.
This weekend.
Oh, hey, well, so we'd have to get him today.
Hey, yeah, we need him today.
This goes, I know how I can get him. Hey, these guys bike for the mentally challenged, and we are big on bicyclists, and we hear you're doing a bicycle thing. We want to have you bicycle into the studio and talk to us.
He was the third overall pick by the Montreal Expos in 1971.
He was the third pick by the Montreal Expos 36 years ago.
But he turned them down to become an underwear model.
Ooh, there's my first turn down challenge.
He became the popular Jordache jeans man.
What? There was no Jordache jeans, man. Do they even make Jordache jeans anymore?
Who's gonna find out if that's true or not?
We should really confrontationally challenge some of these claims. You were not the Jordache jeans! You are a fraud! We should completely come unhinged.
And he starred in 13 television series.
Uh-huh. Okay. There you go. I think we've exhausted all of the comedy we can get out of Jack Scalia.
Well, we haven't even talked to him yet.
Except to say this. Well, we haven't done our five phrases game in a while. So there is always that. So
the carrot top way.
We have done that. Have we even done five phrases since we've been at this station?
No, because all of our guests are more upstanding than
that's
carrot
true.
Top
yeah. That's true. That's true.
Our guests that are upstand us all the time.
What was
is that
the,
you're talking about?
Who was the other? Alyssa Milano. We did it with her, too. Didn't we play five phrases with Alyssa Milano?
I think
we
were
did.
Scared.
No, I'm scared of Alyssa Milano. It was on the
I'm
phone.
I'm scared of Alyssa Milano.
What do you think the luck would be now of trying to book her?
Alyssa Milano?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that.
Tell her you're calling from AM Northwest.
I'm gonna from now on. That's my new name.
Tell her you're calling from Movin'.
You're Carl Click's assistant.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you, Scotty. All right.
It won't happen.
No, not at all. My final observation. It's like giving a dog a particularly tough chew toy. Some leatherette bone. Here you go. Play with this for a while. It's what we do with Max when we're having a pizza. We give him something tough that can't be chewed, and we give it to him and put it in the corner of the kitchen with it. This is my final observation about whoever this guy was, Jack Scalia, whoever we were just talking about. Okay, here's what we should do. We should talk to Jack Scalia. But we should completely confuse him with Antonin Scalia, the justice on the Supreme Court. Sir, what do you feel about...
It's the same spelling.
What are your thoughts on Plessy versus Ferguson? Do you feel that the court overstepped its jurisdiction? And then just have long, awkward...
So awkward.
Have long silences. If we were a morning show, we could have spun all of this into like a 40 share by now. Fantastic. Let me just say this, though, because Jack Scalia, now I'm doing it. Jack Scalia.
It could be Scalia.
Is it Friday? Jack Scalia got us thinking about soap opera actors. Do you think about this? When you're in line at like the supermarket or the Safeway or something, do you see those soap opera digests and wonder who buys those?
Yeah.
I mean, do people still watch soap operas? I mean, it's typically a female thing. Not always. High school or college kids.
I think it's an unemployed thing.
Is it true?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch soap operas last time you were unemployed?
No, I never got into them because when I was unemployed, I had TiVo.
All right, yeah, see, and I...
And cable, so I never watched it.
I don't even think... I mean, I wonder if that's just a sort of entertainment whose time is waning. I mean, I wonder if in 15 years there will be soap operas the way that there are now on television. I don't think it's a female thing. I think it's a female thing of a certain era. I don't really think that there are, like, women my age watching a lot of soap operas on television.
I think it's a secret shame still, and people maybe watch them but don't talk about it.
Is that true?
I'm asking
the room. You know what that was just now? It's like I was asking the heavens, waiting for like a Greek chorus to come back and give me the answer. I'm not trying to, like, I'm not trying to do a wazady topic about it or whatever. I really am curious about that. Because this would be my guess. You think it's a secret shame? Here's my guess. My guess is the same sort of housewives, and I do believe it was, for the most part, for most of the 20th century, housewives. There's some men, I suppose. But housewives, I think, or at least women who stayed at home, who watched soap operas, I believe that the women who used to watch soap operas, those women now channel all that time into being on the Internet. That's what I think. I think those women spend all their time in, like, a chat room, on a blog, on...
Are chat rooms even around anymore?
That's a good question. I don't really know the answer to that.
I remember
either.
When they first came out, when I was in 98, when I was a freshman in college, I remember that
your
was
first
all
chat room?
The rage. Yeah, when my friends would go on chat rooms, just like mess with people who were on there.
I don't know. Do chat rooms still exist, or is it all, or do people just email, or is it all instant messaging now? Is it the kids just instant message? God, I'm so out of my depth. I just
Scotty
have no
must
idea.
Know.
I don't even really
children.
Know what the kids
Scotty
do anymore.
Have children.
It's true. I mean,
he probably doesn't know what they're doing.
I was just going to say, he has no idea. He doesn't even know their names. I mean, seriously, come on. Let Daddy in!
Scotty J.
He probably woke up his kids.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if his kids have ever had to let him in the house late at night. Daddy needs to get inside. You know, in a couple years, they're going to start effing with him by not letting him in. He'll knock at the door, and they'll just leave him there. Leave him to sleep it off in the shrubs.
Oh, I didn't even think about the children. Oh, you
know. Or they'll hire neighbors to pretend he's at the wrong house.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Let's do one more, and then let's do a couple more. Here, we got a few minutes. Maybe we'll break. We'll get back to Rachel McGrath.
Well, then there's a story about the zany morning DJs in Cleveland, Ohio. A morning show host is in the hospital after one of his stunts went awry. Dominic Dieter was doing a stunt on Rover's Morning Glory, rolling down an 80-foot hill in a barrel when the barrel's lid reportedly came off and his shoulders and head came out.
Okay.
Causing him to smack into several rocks on the way down the hill. There's no word on Dieter's condition, but the general manager, Mr. French, said the show's Dieter
French.
Segment will come to an end.
Oh, if only I could do a good Sebastian Cabot. Mr. French?
Yes, I'm afraid so. But the Dare Dieter segment...
I'm afraid I have to tell you that Buffy is dead. Buffy is dead and your morning man smashed his head on some rocks. Mr. French. Look at my colossal beard. Can I see that story, please? Mr. French. Oh, that's wonderful. The co-host of a Cleveland, Ohio morning radio show is in the hospital after one of his stunts resulted in injury. For Rover's Morning Glory, which, by the way, is one of the programs that CBS decided to replace Howard with. So when Stern left, they rolled out two... No, I'm sorry, is it three? Is it they rolled out three shows?
Four, I don't know.
Corolla, David Lee Roth, and then I think Rover's Morning Glory was the Midwest. I think the deal is, and I'm a team player, but I have trouble keeping track of these things sometimes. I think on the West Coast, they replaced Howard Stern with Corolla. On the East Coast, they replaced him with David Lee Roth, who has subsequently been replaced with, Opie and Anthony. And I think in the Midwest, I think they replaced Stern with this Rover's Morning Glory show. Rolling down an 85-foot hill in a barrel when the lid came off. His head and shoulders came out and struck rocks. And their GM is Mr. French. I'm sorry, the children all seem to be dead. Sarah doesn't get that. Mr. French was the butler on Family Affair, played by Sebastian Cabot. Family Affair was sort of a Brady Bunch, but with a single dad.
Okay.
It was a very strange program.
David Keith, right?
Brian Keith.
I always have that problem. Brian Keith, and then what's her name who played Buffy, and then she died. Isn't she dead?
Oh, then that other woman who was just like Richard Nixon's daughter, who played the older daughter. I can't remember what
she was sort
name.
Of a Trisha Nixon,
yeah.
A poor man's Trisha Nixon.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Well, let's talk about poison ivy.
Is
global warming increasing your chances of getting a rash from poison ivy?
Probably.
Dr. Melissa Pelang? All right, we'll stick with that. Dr. Melissa Palang of the Cleveland Clinic said...
Oh, no, of where?
The Cleveland Clinic.
Okay.
Said poison ivy is more potent than it was, say, 10 years ago.
The plant that produces the allergen appears to grow better in higher CO2 environments. So as the greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide increase in our environment, then the poison ivy plant grows bigger and stronger and actually produces a more potent allergen.
It's going to kill us all. It's going to be like that Cleopatra plant on the Addams Family.
Yes, if you brush up against poison ivy, there's still time to prevent a rash.
You have 20 to 30 minutes after exposure to the oil that causes the allergic reaction.
Oh, I'm scratching myself.
The best way to do that is with cold water and lots of soap, and you should rinse for about 5 minutes.
You know, we got one of those, Laura, about one of those aloe plants that we just keep in our front because she's... Laura does this thing, I'm not going to go into a whole thing because it'll trigger a bunch of nerd calls, but she does this geocaching thing, which is, I don't want to call it a scavenger hunt because it's not really like that, but it is like, it's where people will go deep into the woods or wooded areas and they will plant little like, I don't know, just like little canisters or little like prizes or something, and then the deal is you have to find them on foot by using a handheld GPS. It's a whole thing. So it's like nerd meets, Grizzly Adams. And anyway, so I've gone on a couple of those with her. And man, sometimes it's like you just got to go right through. I mean, I don't think we have poison ivy here, but we have. Do we have poison ivy here?
I've never seen poison ivy.
Or poison oak? I don't even really. I think those are like East Coast and Midwest things. I don't think we have it here. But you know what we got is we got those big blackberry brambles. And like thistles and stinging nettles and all kinds of crap. And stuff that just looks all kinds of innocuous, and then suddenly, I'll be waiting up to get to find some tree stump where I think something might be hidden, and then you realize you're standing in the middle of a field of things that God has created just to harm you. You really do realize that if there is a God, he's just kind of a jerk sometimes, because he's just creating all of these things they serve no purpose. What purpose do stinging nettles serve in the grand scheme of Christ's creation? Really. I mean, honestly. I mean, you can at least say that, like, blackberry brambles. Okay, blackberry things have thorns because they don't want animals to come and eat the berries or whatever. Although I don't think that's true either, because I think it's by berry eating that animals then excrete the seeds later on, and that's how the plant... Now that I think about it, why do blackberry bushes have thorns on them? What is the point of that?
I don't know.
Why would those things grow in such a fashion to make it difficult to get at them? The whole point of having the fruit there is to attract animals to it. Well, that just doesn't make any sense now that I think about it. God doesn't know what he's doing.
God wants animals to eat other animals. That's why he puts them like that.
This segment of the Rick Emerson Show brought to you by Pirates Tavern. I just don't understand the point of some plants. Again, I keep going back to like thistles. What is the point of a thistle? It's not pretty to look at. It doesn't smell nice. It has no fruit. It has no flower. The whole point of it is just to jab your shin with something and to make your foot swell up like a basketball.
Well, apparently, nature doesn't want you in that area.
That's what it is.
Nature will fight you off.
It's just like, it's nature's version of a big yellow triangle that says, get out.
Right.
All right. Fantastic.
I'm sure the Native Americans knew of that, but the white man didn't.
That's whitey be gone.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. There's people calling about. I don't know. Maybe I'll wait for them to be screened. Waiting for the calls to be screened so I can answer them. They have, in fact, not even been answered yet.
He might be talking to Mr. Scalia.
No, he's not. I can see. I can look at the phone. They have, in fact, not even been picked up yet. Just waiting endlessly.
It's time to offer a smoking break.
Followed by a kissing break, Scotty. In any moment now, Scotty will decide to start screening the calls. Any second, he'll be able to tear himself away from a David Cassidy fan site of some kind. All right, thank you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir.
I'm waiting to be screened.
Yes, thank you.
You have just lucked out in the Northwest woods because poison ivy and poison oak are very prevalent all through Northwest forests. And thistles are good for one thing, making tea.
Who makes tea out of? It's like making tea out of porcupine.
Exactly. Boy Scouts and other crazy people.
All right. So, but there is poison ivy and poison oak. Do they have the same effect?
And
we're all scratching ourselves.
After you go to the bathroom and you've handled yourself, they have very much the same effect. You'll know it when they get you.
When they get
you. After you've handled yourself.
What do you do in the bathroom, sir?
I handle myself a lot. All right. Thank you.
There you go.
All right. I'll do a couple more. Then we got a break. Got to come back with Rachel McGrath. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Hi. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Yes.
Yeah, the last guy was right. I remember my mom, when I was younger, would get poison oak all the time, all up and down her arms and legs when she was working in the garden, and it was quite bad.
But that's here. That was here in Portland?
That was here in Portland, yeah.
So what does it look like?
The plant itself, it's kind of a small shrub. If I remember right, it's kind of like a little tiny shrub. It's got three leaves on each
and is it
stem.
And is it shiny?
Yeah, it's kind of shiny.
All right.
And if I remember right, the leaves are red on the bottom.
All right. Excellent. It sounds like that last caller was red on the bottom as well.
Indeed.
Oh, Rick Emerson. All right, one more, and then we'll break. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, you were talking about those geocache boxes?
Yes, sir.
Well, on the Oregon coast not too long ago, I stashed some information on a walking trail that I was going to come back and get the following morning, and I inadvertently, in a one-in-a-million chance, put it right next to a geocache box. Didn't know it, came back to find it, and it was gone.
Well, those are the geocache people are typically hippies, and we know what those hippies do to their bodies, so...
But the odds of that happening must be one in a zillion.
This is the last comment I'll make about it, because, again, then we're just going to get a cavalcade of dorks calling it about geocaching. But I will say that it is... Once you... It's not really my deal. I kind of do it because my wife does it. But, you know, so I do accompany her when she does it, but it is kind of interesting. Once you start doing it, it is sort of interesting to realize that you walk by them every day and you just don't even realize it, that they're all around you, even no matter where you are in the city or the country, they're everywhere. These little things that people have buried or hidden and that you can't find them unless you kind of know where to look. It's kind of interesting, actually. All right, we'll take a break here. When we come back, snooty Rachel McGrath from CNN will treat me shabbily, and we'll talk about David Beckham and Posh Spice. Later on, Aaron Geek in the City Duran, more from Tim Riley, the top five, and we'll start auditioning men who want to kiss Scotty on the ear, tenderly and with succulence. Stay there, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, more from Tim Riley, Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, the top five, Scotty J, and possibly, really, and Jack Scalia, maybe? Scotty says that he sent the email up to Jack Scalia's people and immediately called him, like 4 seconds later. I got the feeling they sent it off and they just sat there and like stared at the phone, trying to will it to ring. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent and dashing woman about town, the one and only Rachel McGrath. Why, hello, Rachel, and good morning to you on this Friday. How is your life?
Well, hello, and good afternoon to you. Because I think we're in the same time zone, aren't we?
Yeah, we are indeed. How are things? How's your existence? Are you happy in every conceivable way? What can I do to make your life better?
Do you have a blank check available that you could sign?
No. I work in radio, and so the blank check would probably get you 14 cents anyway. So there's really nothing to do there. So
never mind then.
All right. Well, what are you going to do? Hey, so let's talk about now. It's sort of a yin yang kind of a. We have sort of a polar twins of popular culture going on here, because on the one hand you're talking about Paris Hilton, on the other hand you're talking about David Beckham and his weird skeleton looking wife. Let me ask you this right now, and I don't mean for you to. I'm not trying to generalize or ask you to make an assessment about an entire culture, but really in your view as a journalist, just speaking as a pundit, someone who observes the culture, do you think Britney is glad to be rid of David Beckham and his wife?
No, not really.
They're not considered sort of irritating. They're not considered like an onerous kind of millstone around the celebrity neck. Because I know that America would be glad to be rid of Paris Hilton. Britain doesn't feel that way about the Beckhams?
I think tabloid journalists in Britain are crying into their afternoon tea right now because Posh and Becks have left. I mean, newspapers have made fortunes out of this couple. I think everyone's sad to see them go. What can I say? I think Britain has mixed feelings about David Beckham and Victoria, actually. I think, one, everybody was really unhappy when David Beckham left Manchester United to go and play soccer in Spain at Real Madrid. And that was when there was a little falling out between the British public and the Beckhams. And But to be honest, Brits like to see somebody succeed so that later they can pull them down. So they're gonna miss them. They're gonna one hand want them to succeed in America at soccer, and on the other hand, they're gonna enjoy tearing them apart as they try to make it big in Hollywood.
I know that the paparazzi were sort of there at LAX as Beckham and his wife arrived, and do you get the feeling? And again, this is just sort of your sense as a journalist. Do you feel like the press really do care, or is it just sort of obligatory? Like, is it just sort of a dutiful showing up to cover these guys?
The press really care because it's going to sell tons of papers in Britain. I mean, everybody in England and Britain are talking about Posh and Becks coming to Los Angeles. Their photos are all over the television news and the newspapers and that kind of thing. So the British press, in that sense, really cared. I think the American media has been caught up in the European media furore, if you like, and they're going off the back of it. And they want to say, yeah, this is a good thing for America. This is a good thing for the sport of soccer in the U.S. So the American media has kind of been caught up with it. Let's face it, it's a very well-orchestrated publicity campaign. I mean, their walk through the airport in Los Angeles was very well-staged. The press conference today at LA Galaxy was very well-staged. It's all managed. It's all really about promoting the global brand of Beckham. And, there's a lot of very savvy people behind it. And, the American media jumped on the bandwagon today. Whether they'll still feel the same way in a couple of weeks, we have to wait and see.
I got to tell you, though, every time I see a picture of Victoria Beckham, I just envision, and not to be crude, but really, I can't imagine any kind of, how shall I put this? I can't imagine any kind of marital relations between the two that wouldn't end with her snapping in half somehow. She just, you want to hold her down and forcibly inject cheese or something. It is just some sort of fat. Just give her something. Give her a sandwich. Give her a bagel. Give her some soup, a scone, anything.
But she's perfect size for Hollywood. Come on. She's generally about the same size as Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and all the other young Hollywood bays. The fact that she's in her mid-30s and has had three children, you just got to sort of, put to one side for a minute. But, she's got the Hollywood look, she's got the skinny look, she's got the designer look. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I like that's so great. At the end,
she's got the scowl. She's got the scowl.
You sum it up with just a dismissive, come on. Let me just say this. I may have told you this before, but I saw a taping of The Daily Show in person a few years ago, and the guests were, as they were then known, Posh and Baby Spice. And I have to tell you, Victoria Beckham came off as just a singularly unpleasant individual. And that's just my assessment as a guy sitting in the crowd. I don't really know. But she just came off as a very sour, completely humorless person. If there was any sort of trace of fun to her, it was not on display that night. She did seem like a very horrible person. I don't really know. But speaking of horrible people, let's talk about Paris Hilton for a second. So what is the new allegation that they gave her a cell phone or a cordless phone or something while she was in jail, that she was treated well?
Yeah, apparently some of the sheriff's deputies have been complaining to their union that the sheriff did give Paris special treatment behind bars, not just by letting her out for a brief furlough to her Hollywood Hills mansion. But, yeah, they claim that she was given a cordless phone, which allowed her to make phone calls any time of the day or night. She didn't have to stand in line with other inmates to use the pay phone. And apparently she even called, I think Barbara Walters has said she got a phone call from Paris Hilton at 2 o'clock in the morning at one point, where she's talking about doing an interview after her release. So that they're upset about that. They're upset that a sheriff's captain personally hand-delivered Paris her mail every day, as opposed to it being delivered as the trusty inmates who do that did their rounds of the cells. They're upset that she got a brand-new orange jumpsuit that had not been worn by any previous inmates. as opposed to a recycled, washed one that everybody else had to put up with.
Now, the question is the jumpsuit that Paris Hilton wore currently being recycled and worn by another inmate? That's the question that I would have.
That is an excellent question.
That's what I do.
I think perhaps, it wouldn't surprise me if some sheriff's deputy had it squirreled away somewhere for a bid on eBay at some point.
Excellent. Final question today, Rachel McGrath, before you go into the Los Angeles day. What is your favorite Billy Joel song?
Oh, we've had this question before.
Have we? I thought it was, am I confusing?
Yeah, she likes
Italian restaurant.
Is it scenes from an Italian restaurant? That's my fault. It just slid out of my brain.
Is that the only question you ever ask anybody every day?
No, we're trying to work our way down the list and ask each correspondent in turn. I want to eventually get them all asked. And so I apologize. I didn't know that we had already asked them.
Should I name another one?
Well, no, the interesting thing is, and you know why I forgot that, because so far, every single journalist, I mean, we've asked people in the room and they've had different, but every CNN correspondent has said that same song. Every single person has said scenes from an Italian restaurant, which is why I've kind of lost track of who's answered and who hasn't, because you've all said the same thing.
Apparently, that spooky? What does that say about us?
I don't know. I was wondering if it was sort of like piped in the CNN on hold music or something. So.
No. I think it must be something a little bit more sinister than that.
Maybe the chip that has been implanted into our brains is malfunctioning somehow. All right, Rachel McGrath, enjoy your weekend. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Rachel McGrath. She liked me. By the end of the call, she'd come around.
Until you blew it with the Billy Joel thing.
Shut up! You shut your mouth! Why do you gotta bring up old stuff? Why are you going
to
do that?
Why do you have to bring a fold?
Shut up!
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
You're really exhausting this.
Oh, no. I have not yet begun to exhaust it. Hello, Scotty.
Hello, Portland. That was just, you know.
Caught you off guard, did I?
Yeah. Speaking of catching off guard.
Yeah. Who's on line? What is this first line? Who's on this line?
Jack Scalia.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you have to get Tim for this.
I do need to get Tim, but yeah, he's got a lot to talk about, so I think it'll be great.
Okay, fantastic. Do you want to rustle up Tim?
Sure, I'll go get him.
And can you rustle up Tim, and then can you just, you know, get to talk to Jack off the air, make sure that you get his website, whatever, you know, so we have those details later on? That would be great.
Absolutely.
Thank you if you could do that right now. Thanks so much. All right. In the meantime, in between time, we'll take a couple of these. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program, sir or madam, as the case may be. Hello.
Hey, you said Jack off the air.
Jack anyway. Off the air. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway. Hey, no, wait, one more thing. I don't know if you've ever seen it on YouTube. It's an interview with Ali G and David Beckham and Posh Spice.
No, I haven't.
Oh, dude, you got to check it out. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. She
just seems like a terrible person.
She was okay. I mean, they both took it pretty bad. Like, he was insulting him and stuff like that. He said that, you know, posh people talk like they have a plum in his mouth.
Yeah.
And she asked him if she talks posh with David's plums in her mouth.
All right. Thank you. Bye now. All right. Hey, okay, so Tim, so Scotty's talking about this. So guess who's on the first line here? It's Jack Scalia.
No.
It really is. I have no idea what we're going to ask him. So, quick, give me some keywords that I can use.
Okay, God, I thought underwear. He was on hold and listening to you talk.
No,
no, no.
Underwear model?
Scalia. I'll do this.
Jack Scalia?
Scalia, yeah.
Who is he?
I don't know. Weren't we talking about him for like an hour earlier?
Yeah, we were.
Weren't you on Family Affair, sir?
Why isn't my IMDb working?
Oh, no, mine isn't either.
I've got nothing.
No. Our internet just went down.
No, we're really in trouble.
All right.
Scotty, do something.
The internet just went down.
Internet's
okay.
Working.
Hold on, hold on. Like, hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Chad, man. How you doing?
Hi, Chad.
Oh
how you
God.
Doing?
I'm good.
Chad? Chad?
Rachel girl really does not like you.
Yeah, but I think she's probably hot. Hey, Chad, do you feel like helping us out?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal.
Server not found.
Okay, here's the thing.
I can't believe our server went down.
Here's the thing. Would you like to help us out in the meantime? Win something zinky from the AM970 prize vault.
Sure.
Scotty, can you re-verify that information with Jack Scalia? Just tell him it'll be just a minute. Mm. All right. Okay, here's the deal. What is your name, sir? Chad?
Chad, yep.
Okay, Chad, here's the deal.
Yep.
How do you feel about pretending to be me and interviewing Jack Scalia?
There we go.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
All right, I'll do it.
Torky.
You will?
Jack?
I took the day off. I'll do it. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal. I'm gonna leave you here.
Scalia.
And I'm going to say, I'll pretend to be somebody else. I will pass him along to you. Okay. Chad, you will pretend to be me. Conduct an interview with Jack Scalia here. And then at a certain point, when you feel like you're done, just bring the interview to a close. And if you've done a great job, we'll give you something for the prize ball.
I know this guy. He's handsome.
All right. Are you clear on this, Chad?
Do you want to participate?
I am.
Okay. Are we paying attention here?
No.
So
no, Chad. Listen, you've got to pay attention now. Don't panic. Okay. Chad is going to interview him pretending to be me.
Rick, this is a bad idea.
I don't know anything about him.
Pretend.
All right, so here's the deal.
Okay. I'll do it.
Here's how you start it. Just say, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Jack Scalia.
I'm leaving.
I will bring him on, and then when you're done, you just end the interview, okay?
All righty.
All right, Scotty, you can go ahead and put him on hold whenever. Go.
You are so screwed.
Just do it, Rick.
No, Chad, you've blown it.
No.
For the love of God. All right.
Come on.
Scotty, what are we doing here?
We have a special guest on the board right now.
Jack Scalia?
We are.
All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Jack Scalia. Hello, sir.
How you doing? It's a pleasure to be on the show, Rick. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. We've been waiting for this day.
So have I.
Let me ask you this. Is it true that you were a Jordache jeans model?
First one.
I didn't read. Now, was it you for the first model or the first male model for Jordache jeans?
First male model for Jordache jeans.
So you were the first male supermodel.
Well, I don't know if you call me a supermodel. I worked. I did okay. No complaints.
Did you find
they paid me to work with beautiful women.
Now, were you able to get women by being a Jordache jeans supermodel?
You know what? I never checked into that. That'd be some research for me to do, though. It'd be something else for me to look into.
Okay. And then, now, was this before or after you were an underwear model? We were looking through your resume.
Same time.
How does one become an underwear model? Is that really, what kind of a photograph do you submit to become an underwear model?
Well, actually, I didn't submit a photograph. They came to me and they made me an offer. So that's really the best way to get an offer and to be given a job, as opposed to if I had to audition for it, I don't know if I ever would have went.
All right. You know, our programming assistant, Scotty J, had a question he was wanting to ask you.
How you doing, Jack? Oh, so you're doing the Seattle to Portland bike ride this weekend?
You got that right.
So you can tell us a little bit about that. Have you done this before? Or?
No, this is my one of my prep rides, Seattle to Centralia that we use for tomorrow. And then we leave Sunday morning from Centralia to Portland. So it's 200 miles, 9,000 riders or thereabout, and this is my prep ride getting ready to do the Operation Velo ride, which is me going from Seattle down to San Diego. We're looking to raise between $25 and $50 million. All of that will go to the disabled troops, whether they're traumatized or injured, that are returning from Afghanistan and Iraq.
Excellent. Do you have a website or something where people can find out more information about that?
Absolutely. That would be Operation Velo. It's all one word. V as in victory, Echo Lima, operation.org.
Excellent. And finally, sir, let me just ask you this before we give the website out again at the end. What would you say, because we know you've done a lot of acting, what would you say?
He was in the movie with Rock Hudson, too, it says here.
Is that true?
Right. Rock is my mentor in the business. I did a miniseries with him and then also a television series. And I mean, that's one of the wonderful benefits of working in my business. I've gotten to work with two or three Oscar winners and, you know, with numerous nominated Oscars and Emmy winners.
Would you say that Rock Hudson had sparkling eyes, sir?
Mr. Rock Hudson was one of the greatest individuals I'd ever met.
Oh, excellent. What would you say are the best and worst things about being a soap opera actor? Best and worst, because you did some episodes of some soap operas. Is that a good gig if you can get it, or is that tough work?
In my business, anytime you get a job, it's a great gig. You know, I've done over 300 hours. I've done 20 movies of the week, 30 films. I've done 3 miniseries. I've done 13 television series. I've been very, very blessed in the business, and I had the opportunity to work for 3 years on All My Children with Susan Lucci. So, you know, whether it was with Susan Lucci, who is Miss Daytime.
Now, were you there when she was getting all bitter about never winning anything?
No. I don't know if she ever got bitter. She was probably disappointed. But, you know, you get nominated 13 times and you don't win, it's kind of disappointing. But you know, she's one of those people that just is a professional, and she finally got her just due, and she won the, you know, she won the Daytime Emmy, and I mean, she's an incredible person, and I loved working with her. I mean, I enjoyed working with her as much as I did Farrah Fawcett, Bo Derek, Kim Delaney, Melissa Gilbert, Robin Givens, Mariska Hargitay, Raquel Welch, just to name a few ugly women.
So people,
and you played Jodie Buttafuoco too.
Well, yeah, Joey was kind of an interesting experience. I put 40 pounds on for that.
That's, I saw a photo of you there. It didn't even look like you. People may also remember you from such films as Kraken, Tentacles of the Deep, and The Last Leprechaun. And now you are doing a bicycle ride from here to San Diego. Give the website out one more time.
How about Wes Craven's Red Eye? Remember me from that?
I do indeed. That was the plane flight movie.
Thank you. So, you know, I really want to say, Rick, thank you so much, and Scotty, for having me on. It's, you know, to get the opportunity to do something that we're doing right now, OperationVelo.org is our website. But to kind of spread the word, and this is a cycling town you've got here, up here in Seattle and, you know, the great Northwest. And, you know, we're going to start our ride from here. And I believe we've picked a great cycling city to start the ride, and giving me this opportunity to talk about this, this foundation that I've started. And the Pentagon is involved. We're bringing in some. We've only been doing this for a month, and we've already been gaining major, major sponsors.
Great. And it's Operation Velo, VELO.org. VELO.org.
Velo. And it's, you know, whether you agree with the war or not agree with the war, this is transcends political lines. This is all about the men and women that are serving in the armed forces that have been asked to make a sacrifice, but not only them, also their families. And since they've made the sacrifice representing the United States of America, we want them to know. And I've met with numerous disabled troops that have come back, troopers, men and women alike, great individuals, all inspirational stories. They're not looking for a handout or anything like that. So what this organization is doing, we're looking to work in the remodification of their homes. We're looking to we're very involved with the during the rehabilitatory work they do, which can take 6 months to 2 years. We're looking to cost about $100,000 a year per family. We're looking to take existing facilities on bases, to renovate them, and then to put the families of the soldiers in there. So this is us, Americans, standing post at home for the troops. I mean, like I said, it transcends the war, political party lines. This is about taking care of our brethren, and that's what this is all about. They don't ask why they're going. They go because they've been assigned to go there. They've been deployed there. It's an all-volunteer army we have right now, you know, boots on the ground there. And they volunteered for this. And so we want to let them know that when they come home, this is not about us, who's not doing what or what's not being taken care of. This is us just filling spots now to take care of them and letting them know that they are loved, they are appreciated, and that we have great pride in their service to this country.
Those are our sentiments exactly, Jack. And now, can we look forward to seeing you in anything upcoming in the future as far as any shows that you're going to be in, movies, anything like that? Are you working on anything else?
Right now, I'm just working on this. But I did have a film that was at the Cannes Film Festival. It's a film that I'm an executive producer on. It's also with Tom Sizemore and Stephen Baldwin. It's a really eclectic cast we have. And that is cool. It's called The Genius Club. A very interesting film.
Excellent. And the website is OperationVelo.com, org. OperationVelo.org, VELO. Excellent.
There's a film that's coming out called Finishing the Game with James Franco. That was just up at the Sundance Film Festival. So I've got a couple projects coming out, but I've taken a 4 month time slot out of my working life today, you know, to get myself prepared to do this ride. It's a 14-day ride, 1,500 miles, and I'm going wire to wire on it. We have a number of people that are joining us, from disabled soldiers who are coming in, people that have paid for portions of the ride, but we're organizing it so that, you know, just about anyone can join us. We're probably going to get anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 riders on this 1,500-mile trip.
All right. Thank you, sir, my friend. There you go. Jack Scalia. Thank you, Scotty. You can pick him up and thank him. There you go. Thank you. Oh. I could have gone home and taken a nap.
I think that was one of your best interviews. That should be in the box set.
Oh, thanks, Scotty.
I'll put that on our MySpace page.
Oh, my God.
Scotty, you want to keep working on Dave Kaplan, please?
The best part was when it was drawing to a close, and then Scotty kept asking more prompting questions.
And not only prompting, but inappropriate. After he's talking about wounded soldiers, like, so, are you working on any...
Tell me about your tentacle, Phil. Jesus. Oh, my God.
I think he's lying about it. Okay. I think he's lying about the movie. He's not working on anything.
You're working on nothing. With Stephen Baldwin and Tom Sizemore. Yes, look for that to come out into theaters anymore.
But you don't want to mess with him because he's from Brooklyn.
No, it's true.
I do remember him from that Joey Buttafuoco movie.
There you go.
Yeah. I remember him from such interviews as the one that started last hour. And seems to have just ended.
Well, at least Scotty got him on the air.
No, and we're glad to help a good cause, but
okay.
For the love of God.
We got a break.
Is our bed going to end?
Yes, it's going to end. Right.
Jesus, that was a whole segment.
Yes.
Scotty, please come to the studio. All right. The best part of that interview was...
The best part?
It's a relative statement, I will grant you. As the interview was starting, I was on the phone trying to get Chad to pretend to be me to interview the guy. Meanwhile, you and Tim were trying to Google him or Internet Movie Database him, and then the Internet crashed at that moment. And then I said, okay, Chad's going to pretend to be me, and you guys have been so busy trying to look him up on the IMDb, you had no idea what I was talking about. Then we went to Chad and Jack, and Chad wasn't there. Jesus.
Chad's back.
Right. Now, did you tell me, please tell me this is true, did you tell me that Jack Scalia, who we just interviewed, wants to now come into the studio to be an in-studio guest?
Oh, he loves us.
As long as he brings one of his Oscars with him, I'd like to see one of them.
He said also along with their cause that they're promoting, they also sponsor local restaurants, so the local restaurant will jump on board with their cause that they're sponsoring, and he'll come on in here and he'll talk
about
that.
Are you and Jack Scalia going to be best buddies from now on? Are you going to be pen-palling?
Wait, so not only is he whoring his bicycle thing, which is for a very good cause, of course, but he wants to come and talk about a restaurant that's sponsoring him?
No, it's just kind of bringing the localism
food?
To the...
Localism.
To the topic.
When is this he wants to come in?
Somewhere around the week or the day of July 24th. I don't know what day that
falls
on.
That's a Tuesday, July 24th.
There you go.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do.
This is going to be here for a long time.
So we have some time to build some Jack Scalia trivia.
Jack Scalia momentum.
He's actually a really easy guy to talk to.
I noticed that, especially because you don't have to do anything.
Exactly.
All you have to do is basically have ears.
Well, we were talking about during the break, and we kind of came up with a pretty good idea.
So here's how we're going to do this. We'll go ahead and we'll have Jack Scalia, I can't believe these words leave my mouth, in the studio as a guest. And because you're always looking for experience, Scotty,
be promoted widely.
Yes. We'll have you do the interview.
We're not kidding.
No. So you will be doing the interview as Rick Emerson, and I will remain...
Rick will be Scotty J.
This will be just like how Natalie Portman pretended to be the assistant girl in what is it, Phantom Menace or whatever.
And on that particular day when I'm Rick Emerson and you're Scotty J, we're going to get your ears kissed.
Ears kissed?
So, we'll have Jack Scully in the studio. You will interview him as Rick Emerson, and I will be Scotty J, the programming assistant that day.
Interesting.
So, you have time to come up with some questions, so be ready for that. So, tell him yes. We'll have him in the studio for about 20 minutes on the 24th.
No, I'm going to tell him the whole day.
And you can make a new Rick Emerson sounder, too.
Yeah. So, but seriously.
For Scotty J?
I'm serious now, so go ahead and tell him. We'll find some time for him on the 24th.
Well, we're going to wait till he calls us back. I'm certainly not going to knock on his door and get this set up. We'll let him pursue us.
Oh, now you're all
playing hard to get.
Now you're all hard to get with Jack Scalia.
We're an important show. We're busy. A lot of people want to be on our show now.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Oh, you know. What's up?
Hey, I have to say that I turned my radio off for about 2 seconds when you said that you were going to put Chad on the air to do that interview.
Yeah.
I was like, I love this show too much to watch it explode.
I took off my headphones and almost left the room. I couldn't do it.
It would have been great if Chad had only played along.
2 years, man. I got to tell you, I was scared. I was really scared.
Yeah, because my doing the interview turned out so much better.
He interviewed himself.
It really was true. It really was like a Charlie McCarthy act. He really just had sort of a Rick Emerson puppet he was talking to.
The only thing that made that interview, and I can't even say listenable, was the fact that Scotty jumped in there twice. Once to just steer the interview to, like, say, what are you talking about? And then the second time to go, and then just drag it on longer. And
that was the other
point. I'm sticking a fork in my ear trying to make it stop.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
Hold on. We had come to a stopping point in the interview. The interview had come to its natural close, and Tim was doing that miming the press.
press the disconnect button. He's like telling me to end the interview, and I'm reaching for it because the guy, Clyde Lewis style, was doing this monologue carefully designed to give you no point at which you can break in as the interviewer. Finally, the guy pauses, which is right when you bring down the curtain. You know, the guy says, blah, 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 and that's what we're doing. And that's where, as an interview, you go, great, thanks for coming in, appreciate it, Jack Scott. Scotty leaps in, so, tell us about your upcoming projects. What are you doing next? And, I mean, then that triggered, like, another 10 minutes worth of conversation.
Right, but I wanted to leave him with a fulfilled feeling that he really got his word out on the Emerson program here in Portland. You know?
Nobody else could get a word in, so he got all the word.
Oh, he was fulfilled, yeah. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program, hello.
Best interview ever.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
No, well, yeah, I mean, Chad kind of choked that into a lemon party whatever. I think he's from Hillsboro. He doesn't know what the heck's going on there. But, no, he that dude sounded like he was an easy guy to talk to, but not such an easy guy to end.
No, it's true. Just one of those interviews that comes and lingers.
One of the things that I kind of noticed about that is how enamored he was with Rock Hudson. And I'm thinking, maybe he'd like to come in and nibble on Scotty's ear during the studio.
He was a little defensive when I asked if Rock Hudson had sparkling eyes, and he was like jumping down my throat about it. All right, thank you. That's whoever that was. Let's see. This is, hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey,
hello.
Hey, sounded like a stand-up guy. God damn. Why'd you?
God damn.
You should do like at least 15 minutes of research on the guy, you might find out something interesting.
Perhaps if we'd been told he was going to be on the show.
We did 15 minutes in real time.
No, wait a second, you guys.
Here's the thing. We talked about him, and then we come back from a break, and Scotty announces, by the way, Jack Scalia is on hold waiting to talk to you. And by the way, let me just say this. Would you like to know what else happened about half an hour ago that we didn't talk about? Because I was all busy trying to get my Jack Scalia knowledge boned up. Here's something else that happened about half an hour ago. Scotty has, and again, I don't mean to be blaming Scotty or acting like he's not a good worker. Scotty is, as he told me drunkenly in the parking lot for Vanilla Ice, Scotty is, I didn't get this on tape, but Scotty said, I am a good worker, B. And that really is true. I didn't get it on tape, but Scotty said that.
Of course not. That's the quality stuff.
After Vanilla Ice, Scotty said two or three times, I'm a good worker, B. And
well,
it really is.
We should all just be grateful that he lets us see behind the green curtain.
But let me just say this. So we, Scotty has, though, this sort of haphazard, almost random approach to what he gets done right away and what he sort of puts off forever.
ADD.
So, for example, he puts off quitting smoking until it's too late and it's in our hands. And yet, we casually mention this Jack Scalia guy last hour. Instantly, 5 seconds later, we come back from a break and Scotty says, Jack Scalia's on hold. Here's what else happened today. I casually mentioned to Scotty that, like, hey, you know, we sat next to City Commissioner Dan Saltzman at the PDX Teen Idol thing. We ought to get that guy on, ha-ha, and talk to him about this fortified liquor thing in the public nudity law. About half an hour ago, literally, Jack Scalia was sitting on one phone line to be interviewed, and Scotty had Dan Saltzman from the City Commissioner on the other line, who we then had to turn away because I had to talk to Jack Scalia. So, there
you
go.
That's why I love him so much, because I've got ADD, or I've got hyperattention disorder, so I that's why he's my Eduardo Camino.
Yeah, all right, thank
just
you.
Like me. Thank
all
you.
Right, bye now.
Look, the Rick Emerson Show asked to speak to people, you speak to people. Even if Gabe shunned us and the other...
Well, why don't you call back and say, well, we just had Jack Scalia on.
Oh.
I'm putting that on my resume.
The Jack Scalia. let's see. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, dude, it's Chad.
Oh, hey, thanks for being there when I needed you. Thanks for taking one for the team.
You cut me off. I did not choke. You cut me off. No, I was so ready.
Chad's telling the truth, too, because you were whispering, and whispering doesn't really, you know, go...
Not even to the phone?
You're like, come.
Not even to the phone?
You can't hear
that. Well, because, but the thing is, like, Jack Scalia was on hold. He totally would have heard it. He would have heard the setup.
I was totally ready, and I had the classic three questions for actors that they all want to answer.
What would your three questions have been had you been able to speak to him?
Number one, what inspired you to be an actor? Which they all love to answer. No, seriously, that's a stupid question, but they all love
true.
To answer that.
It's true.
Oh, okay, number two, what have you done lately so our listeners know what you've done? Because they might not know your name, and so that would have been number two. And number three, does that cleft chin get you laid like Kirk Douglas did? Come on!
No, I'm with you. It's simply an issue. Scotty had already talked to the guy off the air like three times because...
But that was all fake talk.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Chad. I'm saying we had to have Scotty talk to him so that he wasn't on hold because if he's on hold, you can hear everything. And so by the time I was saying, like, go, Chad, which apparently you couldn't hear, I couldn't actually speak any louder because the guy would like was right there, and I didn't want him to get the feeling he was walking into something. So
I know, but I was on hold the whole time, and I was ready to go. I was actually going to step up for that, and you're dissing me on the air.
All right, well, I retract the diss, sir.
All right. Well, right on.
All right. Okay, there you go. Thank
I
you.
Found,
thanks so much.
I found the movie I knew him from. He was on the Lifetime made-for-TV
movie called
Tall, Dark, and Deadly.
Yeah.
He was the mysterious Roy Calvin.
I'm more of a Kraken man myself. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I got a great Jack Scalia story. Back in the mid-90s, my friend was shooting kind of a B-grade horror movie called Doomer Chicks, and his sister was actually one of the Doomer Chicks.
Jack Scalia's sister was, or your friend?
Jack Scalia's sister was.
Okay, yeah.
So one day she's over at our house. We're shooting a movie, and he like comes by, and they're like, oh, this guy from All My Children is coming over. So he walks in the door, and I have a dog. And he bends down and, like, gets right in the dog's face. The dog bites him on the nose, like, puts one puncture mark on each side of his nose. And within 2 minutes, it looked like he tried to snort a golf ball.
Fantastic.
He's telling me, he's like, yeah, I'm in this new movie called Leprechaun. They're the last Leprechaun. I'm like, I thought they only made one of those. He's like, no, this one we're in space. I'm like, you know, after a while, he actually said that he was at breakfast with Rick Schroeder and that Alfonso Rivera came in and they all had breakfast together. So at this point, he's obviously a jerk off. So it's just like, all right, dude, well, I hope this doesn't blow any of the rolls for you, you know, this nose thing. He's like, well, dogs usually love me. I don't understand why. And it's like, the dog's never met you before, man. You walk in and get right in his face. It was just absolutely fantastic. He was there for about half an hour and just made an ass of himself the whole time.
Fantastic. So he is sort of a living Troy McClure.
The guy that called and, like, tried to defend him, I promise you, everything, all the preconceived notions you have about him are true.
Well, now we have to have him in.
We
have to have him in, and Scotty must interview him as me.
See if he's got a little puncture wound on each side of his nose when he comes in.
I'll do that. Fantastic. God bless you. Thank you, sir.
All right,
we'll do a couple more here, and then we got to... It's
try and do some news. We haven't
already.
Even gotten any news.
Do you know it's 2 o'clock?
Darn it.
This is one of those days I was just saying during the break.
Time goes by fast when you're interviewing Jack Scalia.
We have another guest waiting, too.
I really do feel like we need a longer show. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Are we going to know or recognize the name of the next guest? That's my concern. Apparently, you know, that's something to start out with. And, you know, maybe that's a kind of a safety button right there that needs to come about. If you don't know who the heck it is, it's a pretty good bet that they're not a good interviewee.
No, I think we got a new game here called Name That Guest.
I think you're nitpicking, sir.
No, I mean, you know,
that's crazy talk.
I remember, you know, Ed Norton's role in, I can't remember what that freaking crime drama with Richard Gere is. But
Primal Fear.
Yeah, Primal Fear. You know, I lost time. And that's exactly what happened during that whole freaking interview. I lost time. It was not good. I mean, just use that. If you can't remember, you know, the person's name, I can't remember what they did, maybe just don't even venture. Don't even venture.
I think we're onto something here.
Sir, you've got a promising career as a radio consultant, my friend. All you need to do is be sitting across all scribbling notes in a spiral pad.
Well, it's kind of like the whole ability to self-censor. You know, it's like do I recognize that name? No, that's a bad road to go down.
You know what you're sounding like right now, and I don't mean this is a knock. You sound a lot like Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles going, here's another thing. When you're telling a story, have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Well, you know, sometimes it's amusing to, you know, ramble down odd.
You pick and choose anecdotes that have wit or substance. You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that.
I like connecting things.
What do you do for a living, sir?
What do I do for a living? I have a finance company.
All right.
Okay, you must come into the studio sometime.
Seriously, you should just sit in the studio.
You come in and be our guest.
You sit in the studio and just start giving us the finger across the throat whenever we're veering off the path.
You know, I'm actually called last Friday. I am the big NAS no seed guy. Had the vasectomy last Friday.
Ah, yes, okay.
And it's been a joyous week. And what's really funny is, speaking of losing time, it's been a really interesting medical week. I got out of just nowhere, out of the blue, woke up early yesterday morning with, like, the nastiest pain in my throat, neck, ear, and whatnot. So I had to go to emergency. And it turns out that I've got some, you know, really quick-onset tonsillitis thing. I'm sitting there. They're about to give me some IV stuff, and I pass out. And I didn't even know. And it's like all of a sudden you wake, you come to, and the room is full of people. They wheeled in a hospital bed because I'd actually been sitting in the kind of a treatment chair. And, you know, and I immediately said, you guys have no sense of humor, because what would have been really freaking funny is if you had, like, put me into a utility closet or something like that, just for pure giggles.
Now tell us about working with Raquel Welch. All right. No, I'm sorry. All right. Excellent. Well, I'm glad you recovered, sir. And
yeah.
Thank you for your observations on the Jack Scalia interview.
I'm a giver.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. One more, and then we gotta wrap it up. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. One thing, I didn't know who the guy was, but I did believe his eyes.
Thank you.
The Emerson Show.
Thank you. All right, it's been genius.
Let me tell you, the Emerson Show is the show that dares to be different. We boldly go where no man ever goes.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
All right, back after this. Come back with Tim Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Let's see. Also, Aaron Duran from Geek in the City will be geekinthecity.com and filmpeopleradio.com will be joining us. What else do we have? I think that's
all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff as I'm trying
more
to find
Jack Scalia trivia.
As I'm attempting to locate a piece of audio that I can't quite seem to find. Wait, hold on. And no. Sarah, why don't you tell people why it is I'm looking for this piece of audio?
Because the Super Suckers are playing tonight at the Mount Tabor Theater.
The Super Suckers? Why, who might that be?
I don't know.
Let's find out, shall we?
Got a man on the side.
Back after this. Stay there.
Yeah, she's with him today. Man, I probably won't die. But it sure feels that way. And I used to be strong. I used to be tough. And she used to be pretty, but now she's just pretty f***ed up. Oh, pretty f***ed up. Yeah, pretty f***ed up now. Oh, she used to be pretty, but now she's just pretty f***ed up. Now I know people change. And sometimes that's good, but some people don't. Maybe they should. But right now that's a mess. I might just throw up. Cause it sure does feel s***. And when things just get pretty s***ed up. Ah, pretty s***ed up. Pretty s***ed up now. Thought she used to be pretty. But now
somebody's crazy. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. What a day.
I had way too much coffee.
What a day. I know. I think we all have had a little too much caffeine, except for Jack Scalia. By the way, Rick, this is Mike D and the Loyal Bastards are opening for the Super Suckers tonight. Also, Moonshine Hangover. Those guys are great.
Oh, man, that's going to be such a good show.
Super Suckers. And so forth. That's tonight at Mount Tabor, formerly known. Mount Tabor, the legend. Legendary Mount Tabor. What is it called now?
I don't know.
Some name.
Some fantasy sounding name.
Something
I don't even remember.
Something with a wizard running down a rainbow.
The Mystic Mount Tabor.
It is.
I just
like,
still call it Sabalas.
I still call it
Sabalas
too. They call it the Mount. I'm not trying to knock the woman who owns it that, but it's just that's just kind of how I know it. They call it Mount Tabor Legends, Mount Tabor, legendary Mount Tabor. Well, you know where it is.
Betty's Mount Tabor.
Go see that to Sal's Mount Tabor. All right. Before we do anything else, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. If he wants to join us now in the studio,
like you did by the lake on Naboo.
From FilmPeopleRadio.com and GeekInTheCity.com, our good friend Aaron, Geek in the City, Duran.
Newly shaved head.
With a newly shorn of his hair. How are you, sir?
I am fantastic. Nice and cool.
Fantastic.
My shorn head.
Yes.
Fantastic.
This is...
sorry.
Okay. How are things, Scotty? Is Scotty continuing to justify after the fact his interview booking while you're waiting in the room with him?
Yeah, he keeps trying. I shoot down every single reason he gives, so he's quit. Now he's just fighting with the podcast and being confounded by a computer that crashes on him.
So here's the thing. So we're definitely going to have, what's his name, the Jack Scalia guy back in, and Scotty will then pretend to be me. Also,
you should get a pair of underwear for him to sign.
We should find some Jordache jeans and have him sign them.
And we can frame them and put them on the wall.
And totally.
Oh, my God.
Right next to the Teeny Dollar celebrity stool and the Jack Scalia celebrity pants.
Make Scotty wear them so he has to sign his ass.
Well,
that's either that too much. Kiss a guy in the neck.
No, that'll be next. Oh, speaking of which, we still got to do that. We never even began to audition our gay men today. And the several straight men who have volunteered. They've offered to take one for the team. So, man.
Scotty's lucky. He can have one more weekend of smoking.
Seriously, yeah, I was going to say, smoke now, Scotty. Smoke now, be kissed later. All right. Well, before we do anything else, are we doing news here, Tim?
I suppose.
Want to do some news, Tim?
Would you care to favor us with news?
Oh, sure, why not?
Okay, there you go. That's the spirit.
From the Ministry
the spirit
of Truth.
Spirit of Murrow, alive and well.
Tim Riley.
I'm trying to make Jack Scalia proud.
Everything you do.
Do you know that sand in the city is now underway? Downtown of Pioneer Courthouse Square, these are sand sculptures. They're big, big...
they're cool, though. They're badass. I saw it the last time they did.
Yeah. They're badass. And they're going on now at the Portland's Pioneer Courthouse Square. The sculpting takes place till 4 o'clock, and then they're going to be on display all weekend. This is for the kids on the block. They provide educational programs to more than 70,000 kids in the Portland metro area. They use the power of puppetry to help children understand and accept differences. Meanwhile,
hold on. They use the power of puppetry to get
children to
accept differences?
That's correct, yes.
And they are also sponsored by the Honorable Mr. Yoshida.
I don't know what that means.
Yes.
What is Mr.
Yoshida?
Is that a sauce?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying
to find
puppet sausage?
I don't know.
I am a puppet made of meat.
Stop. Okay. It's a Friday, and we've all gone a little crazy. When you were talking about using puppets to get children to accept their differences, I was desperately trying to find my It Ain't Easy Being White with Job and Franklin from Arrested Development, because that's totally what was going through my head.
Give me just one second.
Yeah, please. So that's what was totally going...
Well, more than 70 volunteer puppeteers donate an average of 100 hours each, and they perform 550 puppet shows every year.
Illusions, Michael. All right.
Tricks or what?
Do you have that on DVD?
What, Arrested Development?
Yeah.
I got the first two seasons.
Can I
don't know the third.
Trade you lost.
What's going on here?
Where am I? Trade to go.
Oh.
You'll trade me your lost for my Arrested Development? That seems fair. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
A 43-year-old man has been taken to a Boston hospital after a pickup truck he was working on ran over his head.
Jesus.
Yeah. When the rescue crew arrived, they found the man smoking a cigarette with his crew. He had a tire track across his head and significant road rash and a missing patch of hair.
Was he holding up a sign that said, yikes?
Seriously, with a huge bump that's like six inches high growing out of his head.
Fire Lieutenant Ed Gifford says he's in great shape, really.
All things can... What with the missing hair and all. Yeah.
Well, this is the opening day of the Marion County Fair. Some of the things going on are a car show, amusement park games, and a watermelon seed spitting contest. That's for the youngsters. Kids get in for $3.50. And parking is also free. You can't beat that. Well, let's talk about what's going on in New York City, where our parent company, CBS, has put legendary oldie station WCBS FM back on the air. They got rid of their Jack FM, because I guess nobody was listening to it. And Mayor Koch helped relaunch the radio station.
I wonder if there's a porn star named Mayor Ed Koch.
It's very rare in politics and in big business, but some with public
Listen to the music.
And it's even rarer.
Is that Do the Hustle?
My name's Mayor Koch.
Hold on, let's play that again. That sounds like Do the Hustle.
Let's do it again.
It's very rare in politics and in big business that someone publicly admits they've made a mistake. And it's even rarer that they rectify it.
That'll be played on Kitty Currington.
Scotty, please to be listening. Tim, you play one more time. Scotty, please to be identifying the song in the background here.
It's very rare in politics and in big business that someone publicly admits they've made a mistake. And it's even rarer that they rectify it.
I think that is a nondescript music.
And I believe that no one is listening to the content of that clip. They're simply obsessed by the fact that there's that weird music in the background and that his name is Ed Koch.
And he's going to rectify something.
I wonder if there's a porn star named Ed Koch. That's fantastic. All right.
Their DJ, Bob Shannon, says listeners wanted their WCBS FM back, and they're getting it.
This is all for you as we do it one more time here at CBS FM.
Oh! Woo! Oh, God. I feel fatigued just listening to this clip.
They didn't even try to tuck that up.
Well, really? Are they playing this... Is there anybody on Earth who turning on the radio? I hope I hear Respect by Aretha Franklin for the 9 millionth time today.
That demographic would.
Do you think, though? I mean, sure. You really think that's true?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, no, what
they,
is the...
They want to keep listening to hear a certain song at a different time, they hope.
I can't wait to turn on the... Do you ever do this? And I know you do.
Hang because on, Sloopy's probably next.
Can you please play something by the Lemon Pipers? Sarah and I have this discussion, actually. There's a certain radio station in town that we will not identify. Hmm. Now, radio stations, and I don't mean this as a knock, but radio stations, these days, most radio stations, even the good ones, their music is scheduled largely by computer. And I don't mean that it's played by computer. I mean, even when they're even when they're live DJs, like Kink is a good example of this, and a couple, KUFO, you know, they use a computer program called Selector. And what Selector does is it helps you... It ideally makes it so the songs transition easily, so you avoid a train wreck segue, they call it, which is where like a really fast song goes into a slow song. A lot of times Selector is used to make sure that songs are in the same key, or that the tempo is the same, or that certain songs don't get overplayed or underplayed or whatever. But if you don't know how to use that Selector program carefully, your station will sound like ass. And there is this one station in town who we will not identify, we really won't identify them, because we don't wish to. But Sarah and I were noting that every single goddamn day at about 3:25 in the afternoon, they play exactly the same song. And it's not like a bit, like how Kink plays a reggae song every day at 4:20. But there's this other station that every day at 3:25, they play exactly the same song.
It's very annoying because it's right when I get off home from my bike ride, too. Exactly timed in, because I'll leave the station on sometimes in my kitchen, and I'll go to let Muppet out, and I hear the opening chords. I'm like, oh, again?
And that's just...
It's like 3:35 every
day. The result of a music director who either doesn't know how to use Selector or is just too high to function properly. Let's see. Here's... Hello, sir. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
So I moved out to Portland a couple of years ago, and I came from New York, and I was in New York when CBS FM went off the air, and there was like a 7-day vigil with all these old folks out there. Oh, my God, what are we going to do without Saturday Night with Sinatra? So there's probably alter cockers dancing in the streets of Manhattan.
There's
today.
What?
Alter cockers.
What is that?
Old folks.
Is that a
I'm
real
sorry,
word?
I threw a little New York Yiddish at you, just for the hell of it.
I love Yiddish. Fantastic.
There you go.
Now, do they do a Saturday Night with Sinatra?
They used to. I mean, obviously, I live here now, so I don't know what they do anymore. But back in the day, I moved out here in 04. So probably, up until then, it was Saturday with Sinatra, and it was like a 7-10 deal.
See, I can almost get with that.
But as opposed things a little much.
Well, just as opposed to an oldie station, which just, it's like, seriously, how many times do you need to hear The Lion Sleeps Tonight? I mean, really, for the love of Christ.
The next time will be time too many.
Yes, thank you, sir.
I have something
Take
to
care.
make me feel better?
All right. Uh-huh.
Recently made a recording of his ventriloquism act.
Franklin Comes Alive.
He hoped it would break down racial barriers and maybe be a crossover hit.
It ain't easy being white. It ain't easy being brown. There's pressure to be bright. I got children all over town.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
it's so wrong.
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
The World Juggling Federation is holding its finals this weekend in downtown Hartford, Connecticut. Federation founder Jason Garfield said the juggling shows are three levels, and they're all very difficult. They start today with the competition wrapping up on Saturday.
Friday, starting at 1 o'clock, we're going to have our junior and intermediate competitions. The juniors competition is for kids 15 years old and younger. And the intermediate is pretty much for all ages, but not quite at the skill level to be in the advanced, which is the show at 7 o'clock.
Juggling is for retards.
How are these events broken up in the competition?
In the competitions, we have three prop categories, balls, clubs, and rings.
On a good night, you combine all three.
Why do I laugh at balls now?
Because you got one dangling from your nose.
Balls, clubs, and rings. I wonder how many balls that guy's juggled. Do you suppose he can juggle four or six balls at once?
My cousin Walter had balls, clubs, and rings.
I'm out. Bye. Okay. We should.
Next news. What is
fantastic. Hi, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Oh, God.
Let's take a break.
Some guys like to put the ring right on the club, so that way you can have both at once.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
But then you need both hands.
Anywho. Well, you don't really have anything to review today, because Scott did the Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix thing earlier in the week.
Yeah, no, Scott covered Harry Potter, yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. Right? No, it's good. I still have the same issues that I think I'm in the minority. It's my least favorite book.
Really?
Yeah, it feels like one big... It's a good book. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I can't really put my finger on like what I don't like about it. It just feels like one big bridging novel.
Oh, well,
it's
that's
like,
true.
It's a big setup.
It's a setup. You know? No, it's a big setup. You're right about that.
Yeah, so that's the same thing I get from the movie. But, you know, the performances are fantastic. And, man, when that wizard duel, when they finally cut loose at the end...
Yeah, he's a badass.
Because up until then... You know, you knew the wizards had power, but they'd say something in funky Latin and someone would go flying. That was about it.
Right.
Here, all the wizards just cut loose.
Excellent.
And can I just say that Helena Bonham Carter has never been sexier than she is in this movie.
Really? When she plays a crazy super villainous?
Man, I mean, if you think she was hot in Fight Club,
yeah.
this has gotten
because she's crazy. That thing about what's her name, Bellatrix Lestrange.
Oh, she is
she's
absolutely
nuts. She's crazy.
Badass insane.
Yeah.
She is fantastic in it. Yeah.
Wonderful. All right. Okay, here's where we are, Sarah. It's 22 after.
Yes.
Aaron is here.
We must break. Let's just bring it over with so we have a nice chunk of time.
And then, now, should we attempt to wade into the Scotty business?
Oh, sure.
Okay. So we come back.
Maybe Aaron can start it off for the Friday.
No.
Well, maybe we'll start reading some of the emails, perhaps, from men who are interested in kissing Scotty.
I'll play his victim, but not his... I don't know if I can finish the line, so I won't.
Catcher?
Yeah.
You mean if he were to fall?
Yeah.
Catcher. All right. If you're interested in Scotty... I don't even
know
where I'm going with that.
Catching for Scotty J?
Shh. Shut up.
Okay.
It's 503. That I'm... Okay.
I'm sorry.
503-733-2970. Back after this. Stay there.
Anyway, it's a party, and I want the whole family there.
We're having a party?
No. Well, I'm sorry if I don't want you doing one of your stupid puppet shows.
I did that once, Mom. And a lot of people thought it was pretty cool.
In an effort to hip up his act, Job had briefly introduced a puppet.
I tell you something, my man.
Sure, Franklin.
You are one cool... Speaking of mothers... Let me give that oatmeal some brown sugar.
Oh, my wife, you bastard!
Oh, man, what's the matter?
Franklin said some things Whitey just wasn't ready to hear.
Job, weren't you also mercilessly beaten outside of a club in Torrance for that act?
He also said some things that African-American he wasn't ready to hear either.
It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. What a strange program it's been today. 503-733-2970. Like us, Flash Friday coming up at 3. Donna Mike at 7. Don't forget tomorrow, Car and Driver Radio 6 to 9. Miles Around with Dennis Pitsenbarger 9 to 11. We're here with Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Hello. Yes?
Hello. No, Flash Friday. I'm full in rest of development mode now, so now I'm thinking of this will be the last time you'll see these.
You know what's weird is I saw this fantastic movie that I've been going on and on about called The TV Set. With David Duchovny and Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, yeah.
It was done by Jake Kasdan, who's Lawrence Kasdan's kid. And it was produced by Judd Apatow. And the real damnable misery of it is that it came out about a month before Knocked Up. And if it had come out after Knocked Up, it probably would have been a big hit.
It would have made it, yeah.
They would have been able to say, from the producer of, you know, from the writer-director of Knocked Up. But it was produced by Judd Apatow. But anyway, but that kitty girl... from Arrested Development is in it, and it took me forever to place her. I'm like, who is that girl? And then finally, that I pictured her going, that's the last time you'll see these! I'm like pulling up her shirt, and I'm like, aha, it's Kitty! So
they were right. Blue.
So here we got, how about this one? Rick, about Scotty J's smoking punishment. I think you should get a guy to come in and not just kiss Scotty, but spoon behind Scotty with his arm around him, kissing him ever so gently. You should also get a hold of Mrs. J, by the way, so he can't cheat. You should have Mrs. J let you know if Scotty smells like... And you actually offered to come in and sniff Scotty to see if he'd been smoking.
That's right, because as an asthmatic, I can smell a smoker a mile away.
Oh, we should bring him in.
See what he smells like
because
now.
He usually has a morning cigarette.
You just want me to...
Well, no, he already smells like it. I was in the green room with him.
Really?
But yeah, of course he does.
Daddy J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me...
Good morning, Metolia.
Why, hello, Scotty J.
Why, hello, Rick Emerson.
Not armed with a city today?
I always have to search for places to plug in at.
Okay. What are you talking about?
My headphones.
Okay. So Aaron is asthmatic, but claims that as an asthmatic, he is hyper-acutely aware to the scent of cigarettes.
I'm very sensitive.
Okay, go ahead and smell me, because that's impossible.
Now, when is the last time you had a cigarette?
Yeah.
What's it been now?
I don't... Do you see how when I ask you the question, that means that I don't know?
See, I can smell something already.
When is the last
coffee?
When is the last time you had a cigarette?
I think it was like Tuesday or something like that, right? Because I said I had.
Wasn't Tuesday. Yeah.
No, because I had two.
Why
on,
the lies?
Because I had two on Sunday.
Turned my studio into a den of deception.
One or none on Monday, and like two on Tuesday, and then from then on we were like done.
So it's been almost 72 hours.
I guess yes.
Okay, so you have been smoke free since then.
That's correct.
Now I also want to clarify in front of, as they used to say, in front of God and everyone. That, of course, as we progress forward, now you are, of course, bound by loyalty, honor, and manhood to be honest about whether or not you are smoking. That is understood.
Right, but...
can we agree on that right now?
We'll agree on that part, yes.
Okay, so Aaron?
Yes.
Sarah, myself, we're all witnesses here that Scotty is agreeing as a man to be bound by honor and loyalty and to confess if he, in fact, smokes a cigarette.
That is correct.
Okay. The audience is a witness to that. All right. Yes? Did you have something else you wanted to say?
Yes.
Is this going to be more of your whining about how you don't want to be kissed by another man?
Correct.
All right. Realize this whining won't do any good, but go ahead.
I just want you to know that when you originally approached me and said that you would...
How many times do I have to hear this same...
Every time I try to say it, I get cut off.
What are you trying to say?
What are you trying to say?
The guy at OMSI totally wants to talk to us.
Last week.
He wanted to talk to us like a month ago when you were...
I heard Rick had to have the uncomfortable conversation with the OMSI people.
Well, he's not uncomfortable at all. He'd love to talk to you right now, as a matter of fact. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Well, how nice for him. Perhaps he can find somebody somewhere else to help smoking.
Yeah. Okay.
Perhaps he can assist somebody at another radio. So when maybe at Movin' they have somebody who wants to quit smoking.
All right. But when you and I were talking, enlisting the help, we were talking about OMSI at that time. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. You know, I do need some help. And what you've decided to do is instead of getting me the help, you've just turned it into punishment.
Do you see? Okay, here's the thing.
He looks legitimately uncomfortable.
I know, but do you see how that's the whole point? Is that it has to,
that.
There has to be a downside to smoking or you won't stop.
I understand that.
You know, now, do you know that scientifically speaking, and this is true, neurologically speaking, humans are motivated more by their desire to avoid pain than they are by their desire to achieve pleasure. That's a scientific fact.
They learned this from caged mice.
I'm just saying this is a thing that has been well established by psychiatrists, by neuropsychiatrists, that human beings are more motivated by the desire to avoid something unpleasant than to gain something enjoyable. So, therefore, scientifically speaking, this is the right approach.
You said you wouldn't put me in harm's way.
I feel like Alan King from Quitters Incorporated, from Night Gallery or whatever that movie was.
Yeah, totally.
What was that movie? Cat's Eyes?
Cat's Eyes.
And then, Mr. Woods, we give up. All right. So, the question, I think the next step, then, is to, what, do we want to have gay men or whoever? Because we've had some straight men volunteer to do this as well. So, what is the next step? To have them come in? What are we talking about? How do we want to have them?
I guess we should.
How are we going to choose them? I guess.
Well, we need to have somebody to test kiss on. So we can
somebody to read the recipient of the kiss.
Five or six guys into the studio and have somebody.
Listen to that. He's actually vomiting.
I'm sorry, but I tell you what, I'm not going to be a man about this. I'm saying no. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen.
You can't, Scotty. You are bound.
Scotty, what's the number one rule in radio?
Don't care.
Scotty.
Don't care about number one, two, or three.
Scotty.
Rick. I'm not going to be a man. I'm telling you right now, I'm not getting bodily fluid swapped onto my body from whatever.
Do you realize how every time we suggest this, you immediately respond with something that is so latently homoerotic?
Because that's how I think of it. I think of it as it's harmful to your health.
to have a man's lips on your earlobe.
But all that tar nicotine in your lungs is...
Yeah, then I'm smoking. Quitting that.
Smoking's
you're,
fine.
You're clearly not quitting
I
that.
I clearly am quitting.
You're
number
clearly,
two.
You're clearly not.
Whether or not you want to be involved with this OMSI thing or not, I'm going to follow up on my own, and I'll just go to it on my own, and I'll bicycle over there.
Well, you know what? If you follow up with the OMSI thing, then, of course, you will not incur the punishment. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. What's up?
You know, I can totally vouch for that. The psychological factor of it's actually used in sales where people are motivated by one thing or another. And for sales, you have to figure out what that is. If someone's going to be motivated by a you know, some pleasurable thing, or they're motivated by a fear. For me, I don't have any. I'm not prone to any kind of. But just for gambling, I think I can go to Vegas and spend pretty much no money on gambling because for me, winning, you know, $5,000 whatever does not remotely give me the same or an equitable amount of pleasure as losing $100 just incenses me.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. So yeah, losing hurts a lot more than winning feels good.
Hell yeah.
Because I got to tell you this, and every poker player will, and Scotty, you're a poker player, that you'll agree with this, that every guy. You know, guys maybe not remember the big pots that they drag, but every guy remembers the bad beat. Every guy remembers the bad, I'll never forget the time I lost pocket aces and I lost Ian LeCenter. Remember that to the day I die. So, yeah.
No question. I learned my lesson so fast. The first time I sat down, I thought I had, you know, my head straight on. I sat down to, I think it was $25 a hand blackjack. I said, okay, I'll give this a go. And I felt confident myself. I lost $100 in about 3 minutes.
Yep.
And I said,
and he said, out. Right. Here's an email, by the way, that sums it all up. Here's an email that sums it all up. Scotty's bitching. This email sums it up better than I ever could. Rick, tell Scotty J to quit his bitching. There is nothing stopping his smoking ass from also entering some sort of self-help program like OMSI all by himself. The only thing the show has set up is a punishment if he has a cigarette. He can quit any way he wants. Nothing is stopping him from doing the OMSI program. You are simply there to hold him accountable. Why he can't do it himself is beyond me, and then it's signed, man up, douchebag. So there you go. So that's it. No one is stopping you from finding another method for quitting. We are simply holding you accountable for quitting. We are not telling you by which method you must quit. And you keep insisting that's the case, and it's clearly not. You're totally allowed to do the OMSI thing. Well, doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
Originally, when we had the talks, it was enlisting help. And
you're not
enlisting help.
You're free. You're absolutely free to do it. I mean, you can call the OMSI guy right now. Now, I'm not going to devote a whole lot of show time to it, because that ship has sort of passed with that guy. But there's absolutely nothing stopping you from working with the OMSI guy. We are in no way preventing or forbidding or restricting you from quitting via an alternative method. That is on the record. So we are simply here to hold you accountable. That's my only observation.
I do have something if he doesn't want to have bodily fluids on him.
You ain't got no plan with a man.
Totally. Every time you smoke, a guy gets a spoon up behind you and tweak your nipples.
If you want, we can things that don't involve fluids. We can get a guy to reach around and then through your shirt just feel your nipples.
There you go.
So, you know,
I'd rather have a dude kiss my ear.
If it's like skin on skin contact, then that's an easy solution. All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, it's Chad again. Dude, I'm totally going to kiss Scotty.
All right, sir. And, all right.
I'm going to screw that up.
So now, are you able to come into the program at some point between 11 and 3 next week?
Absolutely. I'm self-employed. I can come in any time.
Excellent. Sarah, well, let's start with Monday then. We'll put you down for first slot. What time during the show?
Why don't we do, I don't know, like 1:15? Should we do 2 o'clock?
Well, we've got Dan Saltzman at 1. We've got Clyde at 1:45.
All right, let's do 2.
Can you come in at 2 o'clock on Monday, sir?
Sounds good to me. All
right.
Give me a call in the morning.
All right. Do you know where we're located?
1040 Southwest 3rd?
Yeah, 2040 Southwest 1st.
2040 Southwest 1st. I got it.
Okay, and so we will see you. Drop me an email to remind me about this, but we will see you Monday at 2 o'clock.
2040 Southwest 1st, 2 o'clock on Monday.
Chad, Monday, 2 p.m. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. See, and while he's here, he can try the nipple tweaking as well, because that's fluidless.
We need a test subject.
It'll be Monday Madness.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hey, Rick, this is Deacon.
Hey, what's up?
300-pound straight man. I would love to put my fear of tender kisses into Scotty's not smoking.
Fantastic. Excellent. So we've got somebody for Monday. Now, we could do... can you do Tuesday, sir?
You got it.
Okay. What time works for you on Tuesday to come in?
Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. You tell me.
Well, Tuesday we have Dennis at 2. Why don't we say 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock?
Okay. You know where we're located, sir?
2040 40 South Whisper.
Yeah, exactly. Right downtown, right next to a big cheese grater looking building. So we'll Deacon, we'll see you Tuesday at 1 p.m. Drop me an email to remind me, sir.
You got it.
Thank you, sir. Do you see how devoted the people are to helping you become healthy, Scotty?
I do.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hey, Scotty must be bent on continuing to smoke because there's no issue if he doesn't smoke.
That's what I'm saying.
That's totally true.
That's what I'm saying. So it seems like he secretly wants to keep smoking. Otherwise, this wouldn't be a concern.
Yeah, just give up the cigarette and then don't worry about it, man.
I do like the alternate suggestion of nipple touching through the shirt, though. All right, thank you, sir. Hi, Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Well, actually, I was thinking that maybe Scotty's is maybe thinking he might like it too much, and so that's why he's objecting so much.
You believe he is afraid of the passion that lurks within.
Yep.
He is afraid of what lies beneath.
Of catching.
I've heard his opinions on a couple other subjects, and I'm thinking that maybe that's right about it.
Yes.
You know?
No, it is. It is like a little bit of a, it's a bit of a, bit of a bit of a big of a, what is that guy, Ted Haggard? It's a little bit of a, it's a little bit of a Haggard.
He's got some Haggardy.
Yeah.
No, I'm kind of like the Amish. I don't want to introduce that to my lifestyle.
A little bit of a Santorum happening here.
Yeah.
All right, excellent.
You like gladiator movies?
You ever seen a grown man naked, Scotty? Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Do you like movies about chain gangs, Scotty?
No.
Who is your favorite village person?
I didn't have a favorite village person.
You like them all equally.
I actually went to see them.
Did you?
That was like a year or two ago at Chinook Winds. No.
Did they make you feel
Spirit
good?
Spirit Mountain, sorry. They were with Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yes.
I could listen through one song and I had to leave.
Really? It was too overwhelming? It was too overpowering?
No, I mean, it had nothing to do with the community. It just had to do with their songs being repetitious.
The community.
What, the community of gamblers, you mean?
Yes.
What community are you referring to, Scotty?
The bingo people.
That's what they call
it? Is that what you call it now? Really? I can't keep up with your lingo, Scotty.
I was at a casino.
A5.
All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. Final check of the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley. More from Aaron Geek in the city. Duran, you still got a little E3.
Some E3 knowledge coming on.
All right. Talk about that when we get back. Like us at 3, Dynamike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pay a final visit to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Two brothers from the United States are recovering after being gored at the Running of the Bulls in Pamplona. A bull strayed from the back, finding out they were Americans, and got them both. One's a sales executive from General Mills, the other is an Air Force captain. In other news, you're probably wondering what Condoleezza Rice is up to. We don't know where she is, but every so often she does provide sound bites without saying what she's doing or where she's going to be next. She says the progress of the Iraqi security forces isn't exactly what we expect.
I would just say that on the benchmarks, yes, there's not as much progress as we would like, not by any means or stretch of the imagination. But we shouldn't just dismiss as inconsequential the progress that they've made, the Iraqis, on the security front.
Whatever that might be.
They said that they thought the time to take a look at where we would be is in September, and we ought to stick to that, and then we can talk about what the way forward is.
I kind of forgot she existed for a while.
Yeah, we don't know where she is. She just travels some place. She's a frequent flyer.
They just keep her in a plexiglass box, and they let her out to say things occasionally?
Right. That's that.
Okay.
Hope everyone has a very fine week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in the history of the world, back at 4, 5, 6, and 7, top of the hour all the way through, Tom Lekas. All right. Aaron Duran, so E3, so when is that even coming up?
It's happening right now.
Right? I thought it was next week.
Yeah, no, there's been a bunch of E3 announcements. Yeah, it's pretty much, it starts like on Thursday and it's going to run till like Monday night.
What is that Halo thing you sent me, that Halo video?
That is, it's the trailer for the Halo movie that's now not going to get made. Because Peter Jackson backed out, there's a bunch of ugliness. But apparently it's the guys at Weta who put together all the, some of the, the props and stuff for the film. And they just decided to shoot a trailer. That was going
to
be a trailer for the film.
Just to screw with
And then
us
it became
now.
The trailer of the movie. Or of the game, I'm sorry. And I was talking to Fatboy about it, and it looks a lot like Aliens. As in, like, Cameron should be getting some residuals
that
for this.
Sucks.
I mean, the pulse rifles are all... But, I mean, it looks kind of cool.
I mean, it looks great, but it sucks that it's not going to happen, right? That they're using it as the trailer for the game.
Yeah, I mean, the best part is, the troops land, and, the Master Chief is there, and this laser bolt hits behind him. he doesn't even flinch, and then this thing comes up, finish the fight.
Yeah, that's so great. But see, now, so now...
There's going to be a special Xbox 360 Halo 3 box, too. It's going to come tricked out looking like the Master Chief's armor.
All right. And plus, and this also means, so this means, no, that they're not, this is the trailer for the movie that now is not going to be made.
Right. It's just pretty much been attached as a promo piece for the game now. The movie's not, if the movie happens, it's going to be because somebody else decides to, you know, jump on board. But right now, it's dead in the water.
Infuriating. All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Rick, it's Jason.
Hey.
Hey, when Scotty was talking about that bingo reference,
yes,
one of you guys said A5. There's no A in bingo.
Well, we're playing Hebrew bingo, sir.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. All
right. Okay, do an Indiana Jones thing now.
Seriously. What?
Jeez.
I'm sorry?
I thought you were going to do the Indiana Jones thing, but in something, it begins with an I.
Oh, I'm... Oh,
but in Latin alphabets, Jehovah begins with an
I. Right. It's the name of God.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that.
I'm so looking forward to that.
Only the penitent man should pass.
Penitent. Just kneel before God.
That's
kneel!
We're such
I put
you
that,
must believe, boy.
That Indiana,
you must believe.
The Indiana Jones, like, 23-second thing that you sent me, I was so
the
excited.
Movie?
I posted it on my
where he's
my
being held
page.
Up by the Russians.
And well,
have
and then
you seen the movie?
And
yeah.
Did he get a nose job? He looks like he had a nose.
Harrison
that
Ford.
Think, smaller.
Well, Harrison Ford's nose, you pointed out, was all bloated. It used to be
it was
kind of
all bloated
bulbous.
And, like,
yeah, I think they've added monkey. Makeup and stuff to him.
No, it looks significantly smaller.
And is there that sequence at the end? Is that Spielberg putting his arm around Harrison Ford?
And walking
and
off down
away.
The set?
How
yeah.
great. It just gives me chills. And then there's that shot. Where is that from? Is it IndianaJones.com?
IndianaJones.com. They're releasing little bits here and there. So it's
and
pretty
there's
cool.
a little shot where they show the bullwhip and they show him pulling. They show
one of the hats.
Harrison Ford picking
one
of the hats off the rack
and
the jacket, which was in the Smithsonian for a while.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, it's so
but
cool.
yeah, then they show some daily footage of Indiana Jones being dragged by clearly what are supposed to be Russian soldiers.
Oh my God.
That's fantastic. Let's see. Just go through some email. We got a few minutes here at the end. Let's do some email. Rick, please get Chad back for an interview. His three acting questions would have been painfully awkward and hilarious. I'm sure Judge Reinhold is available for an interview by CBS Radio. Pleased to be doing this. What is Judge Reinhold is even doing now?
My name is Judge.
Was that the Arrested Development
uh-huh.
show? Yeah. I'm Judge Reinhold. Yeah. Let's
see. Is that why we call the show that? I'm changing the name.
Oh, and you guys are going to be... Did you say that you guys are going to be interviewing the producers of the next Narnia film?
One of the Geek & City writers is going to be at Comic-Con in 2 weeks, and he's going to be interviewing the producers of Narnia and maybe Rosario Dawson if we get
Hello.
Lucky.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah, she's got a comic coming out that she's writing, which coincidentally, she happens to look like a main character. What a big shock.
Mm-hmm. All right.
She's, quote, writing a comic.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's see here. What else do we have? God, this is all just Scotty email. So all this is, it's just all email from guys, many of them straight men, who want to kiss Scotty. So, or...
Do you think that...
Or, you know, depending on how Scotty feels about it.
Kiss
or,
him or punch him?
No, I was going to say, or the feeling through the shirt.
The little nipple tweak.
I think the judges might accept that. I think we'd absolutely accept
Come
that.
Come up behind a little full Nelson and...
Well, you saw his reaction, actually. We talked about somebody coming up from behind and just sort of giving him a gentle massaging.
But we need to give a time limit on it, too. Like
Father,
how long, like 5 seconds?
Father Nelson.
Oh, that, well, that's the other thing is like how long... Okay, well, let's... So on Monday, our first male kisser will be auditioning. That'll be Chad coming in Monday at 2. So is now who are we going to have him? Are we going to have him do the earlobe kiss?
We can have him pick.
You can have him pick whose earlobe he wants to kiss.
Wait, whose?
Who are you talking about?
No,
I was talking about
means...
Scotty, whether or not if he wants to get the earlobe kiss
or
his or
nipple
massage.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, were you? But I'm saying, how are we going to pick?
We need somebody to demonstrate on.
But okay.
Do we know anybody who would want to volunteer for that?
Scotty's just typed, not my earlobe unless I smoke. That sounds like a tacit agreement, by the way. That's what lawyers would call a verbal agreement, incidentally.
Get a screen capture of that.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. No, here's the thing. You know what? Here's the thing. I will take that. I'll take that for the team.
Okay.
I will bite that bullet, Scotty. I will take that for the team. On Monday, Chad will come in, and then on Tuesday, it's Deacon. You know what? Read into this what you
so
will.
So next week, so we can audition like 5 people next week?
And yes, and you can prepare all the jokes you would like. I will be the tester. I will be the tester to set an example of tolerance and open-mindedness for Scotty J.
You sound like the beginning of Cheaters.
I will. What is that?
That horrible TV show I watch every morning.
I don't even know what that is.
About tolerance and...
Really? No. No, dude, no, to be a beacon.
Yeah, but it doesn't...
be a beacon?
There is not Mrs. Janik. Hi.
Holy smokes, I'm glad you're not dead. I'm trying to help Sarah with some more Raiders and throwing it back for her.
No, you know what? I'll do that. I will be the test.
Yeah, but it's not a big deal for you. That's why it's not as entertaining. You have to blow me kisses the bigger than Jesus.
Yeah, but there's
rehearsal.
Nobody. There's nobody else. I mean, it's not going to be. Clearly, it's not going to be Tim. You're not going to be here. And, you know, and if we say you're going to kiss Sarah's earlobe, then it's just going to be. Then the line will be to the parking lot and we'll never get through them all.
What about Dennis?
I will. Now, there's a thought on Tuesday. Dennis. Okay, but from Monday, I will take the I'll take the kiss on Monday. On Tuesday, maybe we'll have Dennis do it. So
and I know Scott
go.
Will be in Friday.
Well, Dennis will be fine.
And I don't even know what Chad looks like. Chad could be horribly disfigured for all I know. So
Chad Vader, night shift manager.
Well, what would be better? You want an attractive man sucking on your earlobe?
I'm just saying all things being equal.
If I had to pick?
I'm saying all things being equal. If it's Chad or Johnny Depp, I know where I fall down. So, all right. How long do we have here for everything?
5 seconds.
All right. All right. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondent Rachel McGrath, also Bob Costantini, who joined us today, plus Aaron Duran from GeekInTheCity.com and Jack Scallion. All right. Rick Emerson show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio, proud part of the CBS Radio family. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. Our PA is Scotty J. And, of course, the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. Like us next with Flash Friday. Donna Mike at 7 tomorrow. Car and Driver Radio 6 to 9. 9 to 11, Miles Around with Dennis Pitzenbarger. We'll be back Monday with more stories of comedy. As always, thanks for listening. Be safe. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Do try to help the retarded end. Watch out for snakes. Have a good weekend. See y'all. Bye.
I barely knew her.